Hey, mixtape listeners. You can find us every Sunday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
We're going now. We don't do an intro. We just talk. So I am going to introduce you, which is I haven't done since, I don't know, like 2017, but we have.
Oh, thanks, man.
I assume our newest hire. We hire people too quickly these days, but rarely is it someone I've like heard of anymore. We got Joey Molinaro here.
Old man yells at clouds.
And sometimes it's not even people with like any following. It's just like, oh, this guy, and then he's really fucking good. Like, we don't hire bad people, but like Joey's someone whose videos like I had actually seen. Right. So it was refreshing. What's going on, man?
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. This is awesome. I'm glad to, like, I know I've been following and known you guys for a long time, so it's really cool to be here with y'all.
What happened? How did it happen? How did you end up, not here on the stream, but here with Barstool? I'm sure you're tired of telling the story by now, but how did it happen?
No, man, it's awesome. You know, I just was creating things and doing stuff on the side from my day job. You know, like I feel like a lot, you know, a good amount of Barstool people that kind of is like, that's how it begins, right? You know, like they have like a regular job, quote unquote. And then on the side, they're kind of just like hustling, producing things and whatnot. And that's what I was doing. I was just, you know, doing videos and writing. And you know, it started about last fall when things started catching on a little bit. And then about a month ago, like we were talking before this, about a month ago, got linked up with Dave. And next thing I know, me and my wife were on a flight to NYC and checking out the office and meeting everybody. And here we are now.
I think
quarantined.
Yeah. Locked up.
Exactly. Yeah. First day is like a global pandemic and I'm starting. Yeah. Congrats.
I think you've already accomplished one of the more impressive things I've seen out of anyone, new hire, old hire, any of that. The fact that your introductory video leads off with Dave acting in it, that's a thing he won't do for fucking anyone.
Yeah.
So that's the most impressive thing I've seen someone do in a long time.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's, I was very excited about it. I guess I don't, I don't know any of these rules. So like, after I was out in New York and talking with him and everything, I was just like, I mean, fuck it. Like, I'll text Dave. Like, yeah, it's not a, you know, in my mind, it's like not a huge ask. Like, it'd take a little, you know, 30 seconds or whatever. But now when you say it like that, it's like, yeah, it is Dave Portnoy. And, you know, he could have easily told me to go fuck myself and, you know, welcome me to the company like that. But no, man, he was great. He was just like, it was pretty scary though, because I texted him and he was like, sure, yeah, like, what's the idea? And I was like, I told him and he didn't respond.
Oh,
and
yeah, no.
I'm at my regular, I'm at my, like, my old job. And all of a sudden I look down and it's Dave Portnoy calling me. And I'm like, oh man, what is happening right now? Like, is he revoking the contract? What's going on? But no, it was all good. He was like, how do you pronounce your name? Like, you want to make sure that he had my name pronounced right.
That was the other thing I wanted to ask, because he called me. So he's known me since 2010. I was an intern 2011. I got rehired in, I think, 2015.
Yeah, we were just watching the Barstool documentary and you and the what was the God what
Muskie?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Yeah. And he called me Cooley up until like 2 years ago. So him being cognizant of the fact that he knew he was going to butcher your very standard name.
Joey?
I was going to say, well, you nailed it, dude. Like, right off the bat. I mean, you hit it on the head. But that's what's funny is that Dave even kind of like, my wife kind of liked the way he pronounced it because he didn't pronounce it. He added like a little Portnoy twist on it. Everybody says Molinaro, and he was Molinaro.
Yeah.
Molinaro. And like, I don't know. It was cool.
Yeah, English, writing, these are things that are not his strong suit for someone who like very much depends on the written word.
Sure.
Like, imagine if Dave lived in like the year 1300. He'd still be successful because he's Dave, but if he just had, there was just no printing press, no way to get out the, you know what I'm saying, the...
For sure.
Ye old bar stool time. Yeah. Ye old babes.
Yeah. I don't even know. He'd probably run a brothel. I don't know what he'd do.
He'd do something, yeah.
I'm trying to think of like him as like a Game of Thrones character. Like, he wouldn't be Littlefinger. He's too straightforward for that.
See,
I'm just going to take your women and cut your throat as soon as you leave.
Yeah.
You're a bad Littlefinger, Dave. Yeah.
For sure. For sure. And that's where it's like what you're talking about with, I guess I underestimated at the time. But that's the thing is like going into it, you know, I remember I texted with Dave after me and Big Cat and PFT did a video together. And he was like, let's hop on a call. And I was like, yeah, whenever you want. And he's like, how about tonight? I was like, sure. And then I'm telling my wife, I'm like, oh God, what is this going to be like? Like in my mind, I'm picturing, you know, I'm going to get a call from Dave. And if I'm like, oh yeah, I don't really know, then he'll be like, fuck you. You know, we'll work for Barstool. Like, fuck you. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I was expecting. And you know, it wasn't like that at all, obviously. But yeah, man, he's El Prez. He's pretty cutthroat.
Yeah, I wouldn't even try and, I'm not even trying to scare you off from talking to him. It was just shot like someone who's known him as long as I have. Like I worked with him when he was in Boston. So he's evolved into a much, maybe evolved's not the right word. He's changed into a much different person. And he's certainly more approachable for people who've been hired since we moved to New York. So I would just keep going about it as you have, because I'd love to see him keep popping up in random shit like that.
Here's what I, now that you say that, here's what I'd compare it to. It like reminds me of like, you know, when like, if your dad is like or your grandpa is like a young grandpa, because for me, I was the first grandkid and my grandpa was a hard ass when I was, you know, like birth to like 12 years old, right? Like my grandpa, like he scared me, you know, like I did not want to fuck with my grandpa. But then like, you know, 12 other grandkids fall in line and he starts getting older a little bit. So it's going like this. He's getting older and the more grandkids could keep coming.
He's only like, got now, so much hard ass to ration out.
Exactly. And now my grandpa's a big softy, not calling Dave a softy at all. He obviously not. But what I'm saying is that
he's a coward. We heard he's a big pussy. Yeah.
Yeah.
New hire calls him a coward. No, but to your point, I see what you're saying. Like with my grandpa, it's like, man, the older he gets, the more grandkids come. He's like, I don't got time to be a hard ass for all of them. You know what I mean? So it's a pretty good parallel.
It was. So when you were making all these videos, and I mean, there's a million people making all sorts of videos on the internet. When did you, what was the first one, or was it like Coward? Because I feel like that's what you're most known for now, but what was the first one where you're like, hey, this actually has legs, like this has traction?
It was the Nick Saban one on this past Thanksgiving.
Okay.
When I was, it was quick. It was like 15, 20 seconds. And I was just impersonating Nick Saban, like talking to his wife before they go to a Thanksgiving dinner. And that was it, man. And it picked up and it went pretty crazy on Thanksgiving Day. And then from there, it just kind of steadily kept building. And like you mentioned, Cowherd is like a big one now. And I love to poke fun at that and everything. But the Saban one was the first one that was really like, holy shit, you know.
I feel like I saw your Cowherd videos first because those were going so big, but the ones where I was like, oh, this guy's like got a different level of funny to him is when you started doing the dating press conferences. Those killed me.
Thanks, man. Thank you. Yeah, that's it's funny you said that actually, because like I appreciate it, but like when I was talking with Dave, that's kind of like this, I don't mean to keep bringing this up, the fucking Dave show, but like it's just funny that he was like, you know, the impressions were good, and like, I didn't really know what to do with them. But then
when Abe loves impressions, though. Don't let him fool you. He loves impressions. He loves stand-up. He loves all.
Right. Yeah. But it's just funny that, like, I think, you know, if I had to ask, like, 10 people or something or whatever, then that'd probably be the same response of just like, all right, you can impersonate some people pretty well, but then, oh, okay, you can, like, write a little bit and do skits and shit like that. So, yeah, that series was fun to do for sure.
No one hates comedy more than Dave. Nobody.
He's like, I don't get it. Not for me.
I can't imagine going to a stand up show with him. It just seems like it'd be brutal.
He wasn't in Las Vegas last night at all. His arms aren't tired.
There's two stand up comedians I've ever heard him be like, yeah, I think that guy's funny, and it's Chris Rock and Ricky Gervais. And I like, that's it. There's no one else. No one else has he ever sat down and been like, that was sick.
Ricky Gervais was pretty like, tough fuck. To beat too. Yeah.
Fuck, you know? Everybody, said Ricky Gervais, and Dave's just doubled over.
Yeah, he's like, that's what I would say. Pretty good. Yeah, like Chappelle doesn't get it.
I think he's just like, yeah, I don't, he's just like, I don't follow. Like in stand-up, you have to go so far into somebody else's world. Dave is in Dave's world.
Right, that's probably the problem.
So it's like, what do you mean you went to the DMV? Like, he just doesn't, it doesn't follow, it doesn't register.
Fucking great point, man. Damn.
Yeah, it's the highest compliment I can get. Like, the dream is to be in such a status of your own world like that.
I mean, Jesus, me and my wife are just watching him open fucking packages for 20 minutes before I got on here. So, I mean, there you go.
I was watching his, when he was opening packages the other day, I was watching that. And, like, that's such old school him. Like, I think that's what this quarantine is going to push him towards, just going back. He's going to devolve into making that kind of, when it was literally just him. And he doesn't really need anyone else to play off of. I don't know who else to compare him to. He's such a weird person.
He's Stephen A. Smith, man. Like, Stephen A. is just Stephen A. Like, you can feature him, but if you feature Stephen A. Smith, it's the Stephen A. Smith hour or the Stephen A. Smith minute, whatever. Like, it's just, how it's going to go.
So who's Dave's Teddy Atlas? Because that's the only person who, like, him and Stephen A., like that's his, like, equal. And it's someone who he only sees, like, three times a year.
I'm trying to think.
Teddy Atlas.
Nate. No, I don't know.
Teddy Atlas, the boxing dude. So anytime there's, like, a huge fight, him and Stephen A. are always just like yelling at each other. And
well, I tell you, Atlas is like, listen, this is all I do. You watch 11 sports. Like, let me talk. Stephen A's like, no. I disagree.
Yeah. I won't do it.
It's true, man. Shit.
What do you watch? Like, what are you, boxing fan, baseball? Like, who are your teams?
Yeah, man. I'm a huge Pittsburgh Steelers fan.
Okay.
I'm a huge Chicago Cubs fan. Being from Indy, roll with the Pacers.
Okay.
So I, you know, get the whole small market, you know, fuck the world, that kind of chip on the shoulder thing with the Pacers. And then Purdue, and then I hopped on the LSU bandwagon, and you know, with Coach O and everything, and that relationship there, like, you know, true. I fuck with him a lot. So
yeah. So would you say football is your one?
That's my main one, man. Yeah, but, you know, you always feel that, like, tie being from Indy or Indiana to, like, you know, and I do love basketball for sure. I love basketball. I love IndyCar. That's probably, like, foreign as hell to you guys. I don't know.
Big maybe time. It's not.
But, absolutely. You know, the Indy 500.
I mean, I love it. Mick doesn't touch the stuff.
Yeah.
the Indy 500 is, like, the biggest fucking thing ever here. It's literally Christmas in May, and it got, you know, with everything else, unfortunately, got pushed back. What was the question? Fuck. Yeah, but football. I mean, yeah, for sure. Between college football and the NFL and the Steelers. Yeah, I mean, that's.
Are you Purdue football too?
No, yeah. LSU. Well,
football. I was telling, like, I went on Unnecessary Roughness, and Casey and Brandon were asking me about that, and I was like, it's nice because Purdue will always play at noon, you know, and some shitty 10 game. And then, you know, I can have 3:30 or 7:30 or whatever for LSU and some tight SEC matchups. So my Saturdays are set.
And they'll never cross paths. Like, there's never going to be like, oh, boy, they're in the national championship together. Yeah. What am I to do?
College football is the one sport. You could have nine teams in, like, nine different conferences. But, like, all nine of my teams had great years. We won nine bowls. We didn't play any of each other. Yeah.
It's honestly, like, you're right. I mean, it's honestly, like, I'm, you know, LSU is my major league squad. And for some reason, I fuck with this minor league squad in Purdue. And I'm just, like, you know, really diehard loyal to them. It is what it is. In football, at least, you know, Purdue basketball can, you know, hold their own for sure. But, yeah, it works out nicely for me. Thank you guys for not being like, dude, people get so worked up about that. And I talked about that on Necessary Roughness, too.
I was going to say fuck the Steelers, but outside of that, no, everything okay, else is okay. Fine.
Yeah. I'm going to table that for a second. But on the bandwagon fan, like, you guys are just like, yeah, for sure, like, so many people get so bent out of shape, dude, about that, and it drives me nuts. Like, well, listen, why?
Let me introduce you to Tyler, because this is a man who grew up a Cincinnati Bengals.
Hence Orlando, the fuck the Steelers. That's yeah. Just, that's
Orlando just, Magic, yeah. Cincinnati Reds fan who one day just looked at himself in the mirror and said, why do I like any of these teams? So now he likes all the teams. He's the ultimate bandwagon.
I love it.
Best decision I ever made.
Dude, exactly, man. Like, I just don't get why people get so bent out of shape, dude. And, like, I compared it to, like, you know, it's 2020, right? Like, we're coming up on an election year, dude. You're going to start seeing bumper stickers and yard signs and flags and shit. You know, in 2017, you don't see that for, like, Amy Klobuchar or whatever. Like, no one knows who the fuck she is. Like, now people are on board because it's, like, more prominent. So, hell yeah, I'm going to roll with LSU. Like, who cares?
Listen, a lot of people like they yeah, want a reason.
You're right, though. A lot of people do care, but I don't get it.
No, I mean, they want a reason to feel good about like their bad commitment. It's like they've been a fan of Syracuse football for 32 years.
Yuck.
Yeah, and it's like I mean, again, you know, okay, like.
But wouldn't you like as a fan? That means your team is doing really, really well. So, like, when the Cubs went to the World Series in 2016 and all these people were, like, having Cubs parties and fucking going nuts about them, I was like, the more merrier.
Yeah.
Let's do this together, man. Like, people who are – you know, I had somebody, like, dig up tweets of mine from, like, 2013
that was like – oh, fuck them. Yeah, who cares?
Yeah, it was 2013, dude, and I was like, LSU, like, sucks this year or some shit like that. And they're like, oh, LSU fan, huh? I was like – bro, I couldn't even drink legally then.
Like, right. Listen, I'll say it in the same day. You're like, go LSU. I'll be like, actually, no, you know what? Go Clemson. I feel like Clemson today. Yeah.
Consecutive plays.
Yeah. I'd be like, oh, wow. Nobody beat my Tigers. That's why you talk about being like well ran. Steelers versus Bengals, the playoff game, that was the last game for me being a Bengals fan. Once we lost the game where like the whole meltdown, AB got the concussion, all that, I was out and I never looked back.
You know what, Trail? Good for you, man.
It was good. Dude, it was good.
I'm happy. So, who are you? Got a Raiders hat on? Is that that's the go to now?
That's today.
Yeah. Tomorrow.
Right? I mean, you can't go wrong with the black and silver.
Yeah. I might throw on the Warriors hat tomorrow. Who knows? Who really knows?
That's what it's all about, man. It's all entertainment and fun, you know.
Listen, sports are not fun for a lot of people. That they won't admit it.
It's been great for the last 20 years for this man.
I was going to say.
Listen, it has. Listen, yeah, there's somebody. Go ahead, Drew.
I was going to say, how are you feeling with all the Tom Brady, you know, Tampa Bay stuff?
Well, I have 2 points on that. The first one, I wanted to make it very personal for you because it's most people from Indianapolis have problems with the Patriots. I feel like you have double the problems because you're a Steelers fan. Like, you have people to commiserate with. But somehow they had more success against us than you did?
Here's the weird thing. Tom Brady has fucked me so bad in my entire life that I have genuine he is like my top three favorite athlete of all time. I have literally, it got to a point with the Steelers and the Pats that I would root for the Steelers in the regular season. I know that they would get beat by the Pats in the postseason. And then from there, I was like, let's go Pats. I was like, TB12, baby. Like, keep getting those rings. Because
I mean, you don't want to lose to a loser, right? Like, if you lose, at least lose to the guy that's winning six of them.
It's like I'm having fun with my squad. I am a huge Tom Brady fan, still am. And, you know, that's funny, though, because a lot of people are like, what? You got to hate. And that's why I don't get people in Indianapolis. They piss me off so badly because I get so worked up about the Patriots and Tom Brady. I'm like, look, you can't get all shitty and call him all blah, 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 cheater, all this shit. You can't be that mad just because he beats your ass every time. Like, it just is what it is. Like, you got to just tip your cap.
You're too level-headed to be a sports fan, man.
I don't care for this.
Yeah, what went wrong? How did you end up here? Something bad happened.
That's a bad – See, I think it's the Cubs. I feel like that's a respect. Like, you know,
no, it is. It is. But that's like,
the point. Nobody.
That's very foreign to the rest of the world.
You know, I'll tell you what. I'm not a big LeBron James fan.
That's Indiana. Yeah.
I'm not. Big, well, I mean, those 2011 to 2014. You know, ripped our heart out a couple of times. Then he did again with the Cavs in the postseason. Let's see. Not a big LeBron guy. Fucking hate the Cardinals. Hate everybody who's on the St. Louis Cardinals. They're all like, they all just have this such a punchable face. Can't stand them. Never will like any of them. I don't care if it's Albert Pujols or Stan Musial. I don't care. That's why it's tough with Joe Buck, because like I like Joe Buck, but he's such a St. Louis guy.
So I
have my squads and I have my people that I just can't stand, but you know, I feel like with Tom Brady, you got to have that kind of respect.
So I was thinking about this the other day, because all I can think about is quarantine, like the rest of the world right now. And so Tom Brady was quarterback of the New England Patriots from 2001 until like a few weeks ago. Right before he was quarterback of the New England Patriots, 9/11. Right after he's quarterback of the New England Patriots, coronavirus. Was Tom Brady, Colin, was Tom Brady holding America, the world's fabric, the very fabric in which binds us together? I think he was. I think him being a Patriot was the only thing keeping this ship afloat.
You have a very good point. I mean, when you started saying at the beginning of his career, I kind of knew where we were going with this. But, dude, that's
what quarantine's like, done in my brain.
In the back of Lincoln's head, just like that. Joey's like, why did I agree to this?
Oh, yeah, shit.
Quarantine's melting my brain at a rate I didn't even know it was possible. But, I also haven't found any proof to the contrary against that point. So, that's where we're at.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's got to be asked. Fair question.
When do y'all think we see football or a sport? Because I don't know at this point. I really don't, man.
Is the Big Three thing still on?
I heard it like literally that one day and never, like, I don't know if they, because that was like a couple weeks ago and this news time is years ago. I can't imagine that they would do that, but who knows?
I don't. See, that's the thing is like my cat's in the way now. Sorry.
That's fine.
She got her take. Yeah.
Different time. Man, you know, it's like these. Whoa. Oh, shit. Am I good? Sorry.
Yeah.
Something popped up on the screen. That's the thing is I can't, like, I tried to watch a little bit of that 2K tournament the other night. It was fine. But, like, what I'm saying is that if they're going to keep going with these, you know, little, you know, field day type of games and everything, I'm just going to watch replays of like old games. You know what I mean? Like, I'd rather do that until we get sports back than go with this like horse or, you know, I get what they're trying to do, but, you know, I'd rather watch LSU beat Oklahoma in the semifinal on a replay than watch Steph Curry and, you know, Damian Lillard play horse against each other on Instagram Live.
Trill, man.
I mean, I hope August, September, like once the fall starts to roll around, I really hope that we can just get back to normal, miss out on some summer shit, some spring stuff. I don't know. I don't know if that's going to happen though.
I mean, Adam Silver, from everything I was reading today, like, I think he's going to go around each locker room and test everyone by hand and be like, all right, yeah, we can play. He's itching to have sports back.
But
even then, he got to check, like, every ref, every trainer, every assistant, like, all that shit, too. Not saying right. he won't, but man, oh man. I thought you'd have to do it like every week too.
Right. Well,
I did see some positive news today. I liked it, so I'm pulling it up here on my phone. Man, where'd it go? But it was like something about the numbers of everything that was like, oh, okay. That feels like, here it is. Worldwide new COVID-19 cases peaked on April 3rd, so that was 3 days ago, and are falling at a substantial rate. They dropped 16% on April 4th, another 15% yesterday. That's the lowest amount of cases they've had since March 30th. So that leads me to believe that hopefully everybody's taking the message, staying inside, doing what they got to do, and then by July or August, we can get back to normal.
Yeah, I just don't know, like, I guess it's like, what do they have to wait for to get the green light? Is it just like there are currently zero cases, like worldwide? Like what? Because it's like, if it is trending down and we all stay locked up for two straight weeks, shouldn't that be enough? Or do they really just need like, no, there's zero. There's no way it can spread ever again. Let's move on.
Well, the thing for that, because like when you have to start talking about like when to bring it back, when do you let, or if you let fans in.
Right.
Like at first. So that's a big deal, even because I think it would have to be a vaccine or close to a vaccine before people would even feel that safe, even like going in, being around like 20, 25. Like we can't be in groups of more than 10 people right now. And the stadium going to open up, you can go be around 22,000 people.
Like, well, let's say, Labor Day weekend. First weekend in September, you know, you got college football supposed to kick off. Let's say by then they don't got a vaccine, but the numbers have dropped to a point to where it's so substantially like less that they're like, okay, kind of a go out at your own risk method. You still going to, SEC stadium to watch your squad? I think
those people will.
Yeah,
I personally wouldn't, but I think people would.
Tomorrow.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, right?
If Georgia had its spring game tomorrow, they'd pack it out.
60,000, yeah.
Yeah, 110, easy.
That's why people think
it, with their arms around each other.
If all those people in New York went out to see that fucking Navy boat, you know, to get out, then you know these people are going to go watch their Bulldogs or their Tide.
That's why I don't think we're ever going to go outside again, man. Like
humanity, we've been tasked with maybe like the easiest hurdle in the history of human civilization. Just stay the fuck inside for 2 weeks and we are failing miserably. We stink.
Not only the easiest task, at the easiest time ever.
You have to stay
inside. It's not like, oh boy, we don't have electricity. We don't have lights, nothing. We just got to stay inside while the Black Plague kicks our ass. We got everything, and people are still like, nah.
Like, can't do it.
Not even electricity. Like, think about what fucking people, like, in 1975. Like, let's say this happens in 1975. What? 3-4 weeks into quarantine, like, what are you doing?
How do those people even get, like, the news that they're supposed to be in quarantine? Like, someone drives around town with a bullhorn?
Wait, no, it was a newspaper, but they were like, listen, just read the newspaper on the ground. Don't touch it.
Yeah, exactly.
Like
the paper boy had to throw it just right.
Yeah, the paper boy's got on two gloves.
Do you know how, like, they didn't used to have 24-hour programming? Like, do you know what they used to do around, I think it was midnight, maybe it was 3 a.m. on TVs around the country?
Yeah, they would just turn it off.
No, they would play the national anthem and then turn it off.
Sign off. There you go, everybody.
Play the national anthem, then it would just be static until like 6. Like, just what?
Midnight purge.
And then before you go.
Midnight to 6 a.m., nightly purge. Nothing fucking matters what happens then. It's not being covered.
Yeah, no, they would be like, listen, we ain't got shit, man. We're just going to show snow for like 8 hours, and we'll see you guys at 9:30 in the morning, like for some Judge Judy.
Howdy doody. Yeah, let's do it.
Green Acres, 10 a.m., be there.
That might be worth something, though. Like, I might ask my, like, grandparents or my dad or something, like, okay, throw yourself back to 77 here. Like, this is happening. What are we filling the time with, you know? Like, are you becoming, like, a master artist or, like, learn how to play guitar or some shit, you know? Because like you said, dude, like, We got video games. We got Netflix. I mean,
we got every single movie in the world is available to it, like, right now. Back then, they had a hope a movie came to their city. Like I hope Star Wars comes to the city. Like,
yeah.
Now you can watch every single Star Wars in six clicks of the button. Like,
absolutely. Shit. So, if we get, I might do this, you know, next week. I mean, if there's no positive signs here, so.
What do you think? Star Wars?
You've been doing Star Wars rewatches with lights, camera. Is that like your number one franchise ever?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, for sure. For me, I mean, I don't know why. Like, I went through a Lord of the Rings phase big time. Harry Potter's pretty good, you know. Like, what would you consider? I mean, how many does it have to be to be a franchise? Is it three? Is it
what's yeah, it's probably why two? Oh, okay. What's something that only has two? Sandlot?
Yeah. National Treasure?
Big Mama's House. No.
Yeah, National Treasure, they're supposed to be making that third. Which they
I was gonna say, like, Bad Boys only had two for literally 20 years. So who knows at this point?
Dude, do you know Bad Boys 2's Rotten Tomatoes score?
Two? That's the best one, so they probably hit 23.
Yeah, I think it's exactly 23. I was gonna say, the other day.
I feel like, yeah, that was a good one, so I figured people would not like it.
Well, that's a critic score. The audience score is like a 90.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It was the best one. So, of course, the critics were like, "This, why are they in a morgue?"
That's Star Wars to a T. The critic scores high, fan score low, vice versa. I mean, that's how it goes.
Yeah, critic score 23, audience score 78. Like, what?
Yeah, 78. Everybody I know likes Bad Boys 2 a lot. Like, yeah. I don't know anybody that...
Well, you know who doesn't like it is people who would actually... Like, the people you talk to don't go online to, like, click.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know
what
I mean? The people who want to bash
it. I didn't care for it, yeah. I preferred the version with Lovett and Dana Carvey.
So, do you... Do you know that was supposed to... We've talked about this before. That was supposed to be the original casting of Bad Boys.
Did you know that, Joey?
Are you serious?
100%. It's supposed to be Lovitz and Dana Carvey in the roles of Will Smith and Martin Lawrence.
I guess in like a, you know, satirical way with the Bad Boys and the nerdy two white guys, you know. That shtick could play for a little bit, maybe, like the first 15 minutes of the movie.
I was going to say, that's only going to get us so far.
No, it's definitely not, you know, another one coming out in 2020. I mean, I think they went with the right decision. You
that
know.
Might have passed as like a decent SNL skit once.
4 minutes? Yeah.
Just leave it at that. There you go. Yeah, no, they made the right call. I did not know that, though. That's funny.
Yeah, Tyler put me onto that. For someone who's never seen movies, for him to drop that on me, I was like, what?
What's the mistake? Tyler, I was, first of all, do you prefer if I call you Tyler or Trill?
Either one. Either one's fine.
I always thought Trill was really cool.
It's very cool. Yeah. Okay.
It's very cool. So I'll call you Trill. But that's like in the I've done three of the rewatches with Lights Camera Pod. And every time on YouTube everybody's like, Trill or we riot, Trill or we riot. We want Trill. And I was
yeah,
like,
yeah, I just don't watch that many movies. Yeah.
But yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is like, and I was like, you know, I always follow Robbie and Jeff and everybody because I'm a huge Star Wars guy. And I never saw Trill popping up with that. So I was like, what? Why is this like a, am I not in on something? And I guess I wasn't because you don't watch very many movies. But
well, it's also two Trills, though.
That's true.
There's a, Trill Ballins. I was gonna say, I don't know if he's been in any of the ones you've did. There's Trill Ballins, who's a part of LCB. So there's two, yeah, two different Trills.
Yeah. Did he Trills. Do yours, Tyler?
Ballins?
Yeah.
Did he do what my podcast?
Your Infinity War. This is your
podcast. Oh, yeah, no, he popped. Yeah, he popped. Larry Marvel, Jersey resident Larry Marvel hopped on, but no.
Okay.
Ollins wasn't available.
Okay. All right. That's fair. Damn. So, Joey, does Star Wars, like, is what they've done to the franchise, does that, like, hurt you deeply, or are you all in on, like, the last three?
Nah, man. I'm a Star Wars apologist. I don't. Damn, dude. I just, you know.
You just like everything.
I'm just like.
What's the rush, man? Why I gotta hate it?
Listen, I just want to have fun and enjoy my shit. And Star Wars is something that I enjoy. So I'm not going to sit here and fucking get worked up about, you know, some minor to maybe major things that are wrong with it. I don't care. It's an escape from fucking everyday bullshit. I like Star Wars. I like Rey. I like Ben Solo. I like Kylo Ren. I don't care. I just like it. You know?
They're going to yell at you.
Oh, dude, for sure. Everybody wants you to. You don't. You like the sequels? Are you a fucking idiot? You are.
Yes, I am. I am a big dumb dumb. Yeah, like now what? Yeah.
I'm like, oh, dude, I'm so pissed off about it, bro. What? Yeah, what are we going to do now? I don't know. Like, give me a break, dude.
I've said this to Robbie before, too. I think of all the fan bases, sports, music, anything, I think the maddest people online are Star Wars fans. I don't even know who's close. Second.
I had somebody, I'm going to pull this up. I had somebody DM me the other day, and they fucking – they said something along the lines of like, yo, like your stuff, but you put Revenge of the Sith here. Fuck you, bro. You're an idiot. And I was like,
one, thank you for the kind words.
Appreciate you following, but hey, you got problems. Like, not that deep, dude. It's just Star Wars. Yeah, no, I mean, I enjoy it. I enjoy Harry Potter. I enjoy The Godfathers. It's a franchise, I would say.
Definitely a franchise. I think quietly, and I'm sure there are like a lot of – how old are you? Like 20 – you're young. You're a little bit younger, right?
26.
26, okay. So I feel like people like from like 20 to 26, I think feel like they put that like number one, like extremely high. But people – like I'm 30. I feel like people my age – don't rate it that high, and they should. Like Harry Potter, for what, they have nine movies, eight.
Yeah,
literally nine of those shits.
Between the seven was split into two,
right?
Which honestly, I feel like
they have an incredible success, like hit rate.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, you don't
like box office wise, or like everybody agrees they're good.
Oh no, box office they went bananas, but like actual.
Oh yeah, I figured they do that, but quality of the movie.
Quality of the movie, like they're, I don't like
audience score.
Who even knows?
That whole theme park.
One of them, there's one of them I don't like where it like deals with like the government. I think it's like five.
Harry Potter, they're tapping his wire.
Yeah. Yeah, they got him on Rico. They had him down bad.
Conspiracy.
Yeah. And this seemingly never end lockdown. The world is going through. It's hard to stay motivated, Tyler. Unless you're Joey, who's just a brimming beacon of positivity.
Yes. It's disgusting.
Especially when you're working or supposed to be working from home. It is tough. It is tough to be like, oh, it's time to work.
Right. There's no line anymore. So it's tough to have a work slash whatever time. So and with that comes the motivation struggle.
But the thanks to the people at Death Wish Coffee, makers of the world's strongest coffee, you can stay caffeinated to do whatever you do when the gym is closed, which is tough. That's real tough. I drive by my Planet Fitness sometimes, and I'm just like, can I just go in? No one else? Like, we don't have to tell anyone.
No, sir.
When you're waiting for, when baseball season isn't happening, that's tough.
It is tough because it's definitely not happening.
No. The 1 year you said you were going to get back into it.
They had their chance.
When you can't improve your game on the back nine, I know that's been killing you.
Yes. When I do the nine iron thing from the greens, bro. Rusty.
I drove by my childhood basketball court today. And they had taken down the nets off the hoops, and they had put, like, basically, remember in the 90s, like, they didn't know how, like, car alarms work yet, so they sold that stick that you put in your steering wheel.
Oh, yeah, the club.
Yeah, the club. Yeah. They basically had the club in the rim. So you
I've seen the picture. I've seen one. They just had, like, boards, like, wooden boards. I was like, okay. That seems like a bizarre thing, but okay.
That made me sad. But Death Wish Coffee is a dark roast blend that has double the amount of caffeine that your average cup of coffee contains.
Ooh, I like that. Yeah, because people get it and put 10 sugars and 5 creams in it. They're just like, listen, we know why you're here.
Right. Or it's like, I'm going to drink 2 cups. Like, no.
We know why you're here. Let's just knock this out.
With a smooth, bold taste, Death Wish Coffee will wake you up and help you get ready to take on the day. Death Wish Coffee is available in whole bean, ground, death cups, and cold brew. Crack a can of cold brew with a smooth, strong taste that packs 300 milligrams of coffee per can. I don't know how much a standard amount of milligrams is, but that sounds like a lot.
Is it twice? So
that's not, that's for the regular twice? One. This is for the cold brew. The cold brew is like even, I don't know why, but it's way stronger than regular coffee.
Probably because you can sip it because it ain't hot, man.
Maybe.
You can take it straight to the head.
Subscribe and save 10% off on coffee that's shipped right to your door when you want it.
Now we're talking.
Did you get your package?
I did.
It's a very sturdy package.
Threw my back out. One gripe I have, yeah, our close personal friend.
Right, you needed a cup of this to pick that up.
Yeah, like if on top of it was like drink this to lift this, I would have been good. But
yeah, clean over your head.
Yeah, but no, and now guess who's got a compound fracture of the third lumbar. That's how substantial the goodie box was.
Yeah, the mug, this is more of a
outstanding mug.
Like, I don't even know if I'd call it's more of a stein. You know what I mean? Like,
and it does need the top clicker.
Yeah,
thing. Yeah,
but this thing is maybe the sturdiest mug I've ever seen.
Hand pottery. It's got a nice the Death Wish logo on it. 2020. There's clothes in there.
Yeah, there's shirts, stickers. And then the actual, they gave us a bunch of cold brew, the cans. They gave us everything that they have. The Death Cups. Death Wish is such a strong name for a company. It was just sitting there.
Logo, too.
Incredible logo. The old skull and crossbones. I feel like I'm drinking like a pirate made my tea or coffee.
Yeah. Could be.
Yeah, we don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Not yet.
We want to help help you up your coffee game because right now it's pretty weak. Flaming you. You call yourself a coffee drinker. You're not a real coffee drinker.
Cut when
you
somebody go, with a cup of trash and they just put it down real sad.
This man is sipping beans. When you go to deathwishcoffee.com/tape, you're going to enter to win a MacBook Pro. Hmm?
Yeah, that wasn't in my box.
You didn't win. When you go to deathwishcoffee.com/tape, you can enter to win a MacBook Pro, Death Wish Cold Brew, Barstool Sports merchandise, and a year's worth of Death Wish Coffee. That's deathwishcoffee.com/tape. If you're looking for some coffee ASAP, you can also receive 15% off your entire purchase with promo code mixtape. Check it out right now. Yeah, you'd be a fool not to check that out. What a deal.
Yeah, it was in my box back, but y'all forgot to put the laptop or the MacBook in here. They're like, oops, we sure did. Here's 6 of them. Thanks, Death Wish.
Yeah, take a couple iPads too while we're at it.
Yeah.
Yeah, here is the rest of our scintillating interview with Captain Positivity, Joey. I mean, interview is a weird word. He's our pal. The rest of our chat with Suckbag.
Yeah, Joey. Known team cancer Joey Malia.
Yeah, with cookie crisp face Joey
Malia. Yeah, that really hurt.
It was. Yeah, I can't believe we were able to salvage that. That's a testament to us.
Yeah, good on us.
Sickening on him.
Enjoy.
But speaking about the dude who DM'd me, you got one of my favorite comments. Because after you post a video, I was scrolling through the comments just to see if this person popped up, because they always pop up. It happened to PFT, it happened to Tyler, it happens to everyone. You got my favorite comment, which is, hey, I used to love your videos, but now that they are with Barstool, they're not funny anymore. Like, what does that mean?
Dude.
Has that started yet?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, for sure. It started with my announcement video. I'm like, you know, that whole thing of, like, either they're not funny anymore, or like, well, but it's been fun, man, or, like, some shit. I'm like, first of all, I don't know who the fuck you are. So it hasn't been fun. You know, maybe it's been fun.
Like, I don't.
Maybe it's fun for you, but we're not having to go back and forth
here. It hasn't been a thing on this side. I'm sorry. Like,
you know, so I'm just like, but, you know, what's good too is that you'll have people that will, you know, come, you know, pitch and fork, ready to go to battle for it of, you know, what are you talking about? This is a great career move. Like, Barstool is, you know, the SNL online or whatever. And so that's cool to see too. But you're right, man. I mean, people just get fixated on weird things and want to be heard, you know? And so
that's really all it is. Yeah. It's like, listen, make whatever choice you need to make. I would never tell you to go or support anywhere you don't feel like it. Just don't tell me. I don't really. That's your business, not mine. Like,
The thing that bothers me is just like pretending like you wouldn't laugh just because there was like a little symbol in the bottom of like the video. Like, it's the same. You know what I mean? It's just like, oh, well, that. It's not like we put like a burning cross there. Like, yeah, I can see that taking away from the humor a little bit.
We should take some old like Richard Pryor, put the bar still love on there. Like, I don't see it. Yeah.
No, what? Go ahead.
No, yeah, you're right. Go.
I was gonna say, what were your comedy influences?
Well, you were talking about with Dave, Dave Chappelle, for sure. Adam Sandler. Frank Caliendo with the impressions, Dana Carvey, you know, all those SNL people, Bill Murray. I'm just now, Chris D'Elia. I'm a huge Chris D'Elia
guy.
He's somebody I impersonate as well, but, you know, he's just, you know, one of his phrases is like, I'm just down for a silly goose time. That's all I'm here for. I don't want to – why are we getting mad about shit? I just want to have fun. But those would – off the top, I'd say were, you know, the main ones here. You know, so, yeah. The Dave Chappelle, the – damn, man. Some of his – I have not left. Have you guys seen the bit about
– Yes.
Yeah, I would say yes. Yeah, whatever. Well, let's talk about it anyway. Yeah,
dude, the one and one, like right now, it's pretty prominent. The where is Ja? The Ja Rule. That shit is so funny. And the the bit about how AIDS came around, like how humans got AIDS from like fucking monkeys.
Yeah,
dude, that is so.
Nobody funny. Says I'm fucking humans on Monday, and then I gotta go get Charlene on too.
Right, like, nah, dog. I'm too busy fucking my monkey.
Yeah, he's so calm about the way he delivers it.
His delivery, just, dude.
Yeah, I trained this shit not to peel my dick like a banana.
Yeah. And when he's on the bus in like San Francisco talking about the homeless dude, he's like
jerking off. Jerking off.
Bro. I'm looking at right now. I got like the seasons 1 and 2 of the Chappelle Show on DVD down there. Got like my senior year of high school or some shit.
That's the highest selling DVD for a TV show of all time.
I was like, I know it was, and it may very well still be.
I feel like it probably is just because like what came like DVDs kind of tailed off like right after that. So I don't know what would have passed. Maybe Breaking Bad. Breaking Bad might have passed it. That hit at
the Wire. May yeah, I don't know.
Do you guys you watch Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee at all?
I do, yeah.
You see the Chappelle was on there. And so I had to watch that. But it's just great. Like, first of all, he's jacked now.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, people have been seeing that. But then, like, I felt kind of bad, man, because, like, he was talking about how, like, he can't stop smoking and everything. And, like, his voice is getting kind of raspy and shit. And I was like,
You know?
And I was like, that, you know. Sucks, man. Just because you think of Chappelle and you think of that high, funny ass voice, but
he was blessed. He was the perfect comedian through and through ever since he was born. Like he was born to be a. There was no other career path he would have ever had in this world. His voice is too funny. He's just too funny. Like imagine him like as your accountant. You'd be like, I can't trust you with my money. What are you doing?
HR manager, it's just Dave Chappelle. He does the hiring and firing. Yeah.
Dude, when he does the white guy news anchor guy.
Chuck Taylor. The
best, man. Oh, I'll have to pop those in here.
Which, yeah, top three Chappelle skits. Because they were running like marathons of the day, so I just pop in randomly and just watch random Chappelle. Yeah.
Man, you guys go first. I don't want to. You set it. You set it up.
What do you got, Mick? Have we ever did top? I'm sure we have at some
point. I've tried to rank Chappelle stuff with you. You won't fucking do it, you coward.
No, not this one. Yuck. Imagine. No.
I mean, I feel like Blind Black Klansman's got to be one. I don't know what else is better.
Clayton Bigsby.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's first episode. That's unreal of a first episode skit to have.
That might be my favorite skit of all time. Like in the history of comedy and skits.
Your very first game, you score 77 points.
Just retire. Yeah. It's over. It's done.
I don't know what else could be better than that.
That's up there. I think Trading Spouses is up there.
I was just about to say that.
Very funny.
Trading Spouses is easily probably the one I quote the most randomly to myself. One of the most.
Who the fuck is Renee Zellweger?
I smell your lightsaber.
And this has kind of had some influence on some of the shit with like the press conferences and shit that the pre-draft that I did this game, the race draft, the racial draft. Mm. That's right up.
Young Billy Burr.
I was going to say, yeah, Bill Burr. He used Bill Burr to be just, he was a cop. He did that.
Yeah. That's right up there for me with the blind white supremacists. But
you know what? I feel like got overlooked as time's gone on because of like the Rick James all of it. Wayne Brady was like, I feel like as funny.
Yeah. It was just so shocking. Killer. Yeah.
Oh shit, it's Wayne Brady, son.
I'll give props to I think it was Buchagross. John Buchagross, he used to be on Sports Center or whatever. Yeah, I remember. I think it was him who used to do the with Novak Djokovic. He'd be like, he'd call that back for that. He'd be like, is Wayne Brady gonna have the Djokovic?
I remember that. Y'all remember Sports Center? Y'all remember highlights?
That was pretty
sports.
Good.
Yeah,
that was pretty good. Yeah, funny anchors. Yeah.
What's your least favorite Chappelle skit?
Honestly, it's probably Rick James' bitch just because it made him crazy.
Oh, but what's your least favorite?
I'm saying that's the reason why it's my least. It took him away from us for like a decade.
Hey, listen, he in the long term, he gonna keep dropping 5 every 2 years. It'll even out in the long run.
I guess, but it was hard times for me.
Listen, I was there. That shit was funny as hell, though. I could never put it in least favorite.
Damn, I was gonna say, man, I don't really remember any of the ones I don't like. I mean,
it's, right? Like, I feel like I only remember the hits.
Yeah, you didn't have. It wasn't like, oh, that was a stinker. Like, that's not a thing you ever said.
Because even what's the fucking place called? The Office Company.
Pop
Copy.
Cock. Yeah. That's why. Dude, that's
right. Like even they're just the regular. I'm searching for at least I don't even know what worst Dave Chappelle's
getting. Google's gonna punch you in the face, so you're gonna fit.
Listen, it'd be worth it.
I'm going back to one of my favorites, Black Bush kills me.
Black Bush is a good one.
Yeah, oil. What's the the typing lady from the court that's on the back, the mobile.
The court stenographer. Yeah.
That shit's great, man. Oh, man. Kobe. Rest in peace.
Yeah, that was a great one. Dave Chappelle, that ain't your wife. That'll always kill me. Thinking Tupac's still alive.
That was the lost season, right?
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
that lost season had some classics, man.
The when Keeping It Real goes wrong.
Oh yeah. What was the great moments in hookup history?
Yeah,
all of those are good. The penis and the popcorn trick.
another one of my favorites, the they did the documentary about
crack.
Yeah, about Tyrone Cornrow Wallace. Yeah. Y'all need to cook up cocaine with B King. Yeah. So yeah. P.S.
Up there too. I can't.
The family?
The family.
Mm-hmm. Once you said I can't, I figured where you were going.
Mm-hmm. The family, man. That's a classic.
That shit is. God dang, man.
He was like, well, if we can do a Black Klansman, I don't see why we can't do this.
That was what, probably 15 years ago? Maybe a little bit more.
15, 16, yeah.
Yeah, how old were you when that came out, Joey? Like when Chappelle, did you watch that like as it came out?
Oh yeah, I was like 12 years old, and me and my buddy Jordan were just laughing our ass off at that.
Hell yeah.
It was just like, how are they, even at that time, it was like, how the fuck are they getting away with this? And how are we watching it right now on Comedy Central?
I can't imagine, because have you watched his Mark Twain Awards? They just put it on Netflix. He got the Mark Twain
Awards. Did they?
Yeah, it's up there. I watched it again last night. So he got, which is given to like, what is it, the best comedic person of the year every year?
Yeah, something.
Yeah. Outstanding achievements in comedy.
In comedy or humor or whatever,
Yeah. They give it to one person every year. So Chappelle got it last year. And Neil Brennan is talking about, they pitched it to HBO. And HBO was like, why would we need you? We already have Chris Rock. And his joke is like, you can only have one famous Black person at a time. Nowadays, you can have three. But it makes me think, like, imagine if it was on HBO. Like, it would have been a wildly different show.
Yeah.
That's
right. I don't even know if it would have made it better. I feel like the boundaries and them knowing that they had to keep it in a certain box probably made it funnier.
I agree.
The shock of it, yeah, for sure.
I'm looking at the bracket, Grantland. Mad Real World, I forgot about that one. That's a classic.
Oh, what was it? Like the stimulus check or
reparations.
Reparations, that was a good one.
I bought this truck cash.
This has the player haters ball, a 2 seed against the great New York Boots, a 15 seed. That's rough.
I mean, player haters ball is running them off the court.
That's what I'm saying, but that's, I think great New York Boots should not be a 15 seed. Calvin got a job. That's a good one.
Yeah. It's been a fun little rabbit hole here.
That's some classics, man.
Yeah, I mean, I've been watching Chappelle since I was 12, and I'm older than you. So that's
they were just always on like summer nights, like just marathon reruns of Chappelle's show on Comedy Central. Yeah. I think it was like the older, cool. Yeah, it definitely was like the old, cool, like New York City on the World Comedy Central.
Yeah. That Comedy Central, I mean, they used to rerun like Conan O'Brien's show from the night before at like noon. Mm-hmm. Like that network. In other countries, they used to run The Simpsons on there. Are you a Simpsons guy or no?
No. I'm more of a family. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's like, I think it kind of is Simpsons family. You know. Like, I appreciate The Simpsons and like the
legend. Yeah, we get it. We get it, Joey. You're young. All right.
Tell the judge.
It's on Disney Plus, though, which is an odd marriage, but, you know.
Them buying Fox was a wild move.
You got fucking Dumbo, and then all of a sudden you're scrolling past, you know, Simpsons, and it's like, okay, this is odd.
Simpsons is this show's all-time favorite show.
For you?
Yeah. That's just...
That'd be on your... Both of your guys'?
Rushmore?
Damn.
It was free in the 90s, like before I had cable, it was just on. And so it was just something that was there for me. And it's still on. It's the longest running sitcom of all time, like for a reason, because that when it's at its peak, there's nothing better. It just hasn't been at that peak in a while.
See, I was always like, if I was watching The Simpsons, I was going to get in trouble.
Yeah. Same.
Like, I was same. Like, man, I can't have this shit on, man. That South Park. Those are, Jesus, man. South Park came on, and I was, like, getting away with it. That was big.
Yeah, that's, Simpsons really, really wore that pitch for a lot of shows that came after it, where it's like, well, as long as it's not The Simpsons, you can watch. South Park definitely was crossed. They were murdering people's fathers and then feeding it to them.
Was way worse. Oh, like, if your parents watched The Simpsons for a couple minutes, depending on what couple minutes they got, it could be completely fine.
Yeah.
South Park, there's no way any couple minute stretch your parents see you watch is going to be like, oh, this is fine.
Hell no. And my parents had me when they were like 20, and they were still like, no. You know, like
absolutely. That's crazy.
They were 30 years old when I was 10, and they were like, South Park, mm-mm. Get it out.
I think they understood too much of it. That was the problem.
Yeah, they were like, nope.
For sure. Because they were wanting to watch it, you know?
Right. Mm. My parents used The Simpsons as like a babysitter for me. They knew they could get away for 30 minutes and just have me watch that. Like some of my earliest memories, I'm holding a teddy bear. I'm like 3 years old, and The Simpsons are on, like one of those TVs
Rosebud,
that weighed, yeah, that weighed enough that could kill you if they fell on you, like one of those TVs.
It's a fresh idea, Joe. You may want to do this because nobody else at the company does this. A Mount Rushmore. What you guys Mount Rushmore for television shows?
For TV shows?
I'm glad you brought it up. Yeah. Go ahead, man.
I'm trying to think. I mean, Simpsons is one of them for me. Smart Guy is probably one of them.
You do love Smart Guy.
Big fan.
Do you even know what Smart Guy is?
Dumb, man.
Oh.
I think it was probably off by the time you were even
had to
like the age. Yeah, it's about this really smart kid. He was a brainiac. He was like 10, but he was in high school. It was sick.
I said it was exactly
okay, he's really smart. Got it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, about a literal smart, did not beat around the bush. That's on my that's in my Rushmore. Chappelle.
I got
show.
Four for you right be. Now.
Okay.
Hit me.
Got four for you right now. No particular order. Because it's not really an order in Mount Rushmore, I guess.
No, I don't think there is.
I feel like one is top dog. Everything else after, like, whoever's on the far left, that's head honcho. But everybody else is whatever.
I was looking the other way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. The Office, Seinfeld. Shit, I just blanked it. Oh, my God. The Office, Seinfeld, Stranger Things.
Okay.
Does that count? Or are we talking just regular like
cable? That's a TV show.
Yeah. It can be Netflix or
for sure.
Streaming show. Seinfeld, Stranger Things. Fuck, why did I just forget that? Family Guy. Yeah.
Okay.
The Seinfeld, Stranger Things, Family Guy. That's my go-tos.
Oh, Simpsons, Smart Guy. Chappelle Show have to be in it for me. I got one more. What do you got, Mitt?
I have The Simpsons. I don't have Smart Guy. I'm sorry.
Pathetic.
I'm gonna look up the Smart Guy right now,
dude. Yeah. It's on Disney Plus too.
It is.
I often go to watch Simpsons and end up being like, "Oh yeah, recently watched Smart Guy. Let me just crank out some little T.J. Henderson instead."
Oh, this dude was big in the 90s.
Oh yeah,
T.J. Mowry. Did he sing for a while?
Probably, dude. Everybody that had a show is saying
that's
like
true.
A little bit, yeah, like 92. Yeah.
That's true. I go Simpsons, Always Sunny.
Damn, I need to get into that.
I watched Anchi. Yeah, Always Sunny is incredible. It's like if it's like Seinfeld's deranged cousin. I don't know how else to describe it.
Yeah.
Simpsons, Always Sunny, Banshee. And Chappelle's show.
I think Ken Jack was talking about Banshee being really. I think it was him.
I mean, I've been yelling about Banshee for years. No one wants to listen to me.
Oh,
I know. Peaky Blinders might be my fourth.
Speaking
of Netflix shows.
Really?
That's love good. It. Love it. Have you watched it or have you watched any of it?
No.
Big fan.
Yeah, you've got time.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what, like, you know,
you can fit in the schedule.
Were you into House of Cards at all?
We're not big.
I didn't watch it.
No. Nah. Okay.
Like West Wing, I can't get into none of it.
Damn, West Wing's really good too.
But I tried. Like,
that's what I hear. Yeah.
You know that?
I tried Veep.
You know that House of Cards, or you know that meme that's like the back of the horse is like beautifully drawn, and then the front of the horse sucks. That's the perfect description of House of Cards if you're ever interested in getting into it, which doesn't sound like you are. But like the first 2.5 seasons are like phenomenal, like just unbelievable. And then just fucking downhill after that. Bad.
So I think I watched the first two and then it came out he was a terrible person and I knew they were going to stop making them. So I tapped out.
Fifth season, they like oddly killed them off because they didn't have any choice. And yeah. But first two seasons, though, I mean, if you stop after that,
yeah, pretty good.
Great show.
Yeah, not bad. Did you watch Game of Thrones, Joey?
No, man.
Woo-wee. Smart man.
I haven't watched Game of Thrones. I have not watched Breaking Bad.
Same. I've never watched Breaking Bad either.
That's crazy because you seem like you're like fantasy world based on your movie choices.
I would say, yeah, with those, that's why I was kind of – I thought he would be a Thrones guy.
Yeah, I never – like, it was too late by the time that I got in. Like, everybody – I feel like everybody was ahead of me by like 5 years, and they were all like, oh, Thrones, dude. And I was like, I don't know.
What did you say to me?
Who?
Yeah, I was like, okay. And by that time, it was like I said, 5 or 6 seasons in. I was like, I'm not starting it. So,
you made the right choice in the long run.
Yeah, I was the opposite. Like I was like that exactly. I was like, okay, well, if people love it this much, let me see. And so I got caught up in time for like the final season. And boy, oh boy, you talk about like the end of the
poorly drawn horse. Yeah,
the end of the poorly drawn horse. In this case, like
there is no horse.
The horse has no back legs.
Yeah, no.
Its tail is made of like I don't even know cotton. Like it's just not even. It's not a real horse.
Yeah, that did not stick that landing at all. Have you gotten into John Mulaney at all? I feel like he'd be your cup of tea.
Oh,
the hour of interaction I've had with you.
I'm doing that. Yeah, I just said we because I looked at my wife. We are really into John. Yes, John Mulaney's he's hilarious. I love John Mulaney.
He killed. Like I was just rewatching one of his stand-ups the other night, and I just tweeted out like how angry I was that he could be that good at comedy. And I got like I know he's beloved on the internet, and then I got a bunch of people being like, "This is a terrible take. He stinks." I was like, "Whoa, who are you people? Like, what are you talking about?"
That's the internet, man.
Perfect example. That's right, Joe. Perfect example, dude. We're sitting here raving over John Mulaney, and there's some me and my buddy call him Man Cave, the Twitter Man Cave. You know, dudes who have like 65 followers and like their profile picture ain't them, and they just want to tell everybody how bad they suck. But Mulaney is hilarious. His bit about talking through burps. I mean, that's
very relatable.
It's super relatable.
Yeah, every time I get a tweet that's so out of left field, in my mind I just like guess how many followers they have, and I'm always like 19, and then they've got like 50. I'm like, oh, good for you. I'm proud of you.
You were on the up and up.
Yeah, you exceeded my expectations for how bad of a tweet you just sent me. It smelled like a 4 follower account.
Uh-huh, for sure, man. God yeah damn. And especially as you know, somebody who doesn't, you know, somebody who does some impressions and shit, I'll always get the oh stick to this, bro, and I'll check and I'll be like 13 followers and be like, go fuck yourself.
But, got my ass, yeah.
Sorry, man.
Obviously I don't give away anything you're like working on or don't want to talk about, but what are some of your goals with Barstool, with this newfound, this is your life. Your comedy is now your life. It's not a side gig anymore. Now you are just a paid comedian. I don't know if that's sunk in yet, but that's you.
No, yeah, so like, the best thing ever.
what are some like outside the box, some shit you're trying to get done here? Because it is really just like a playground, like for comedians.
Oh, dude, it's a great way to describe it. It's one thing that I'm kind of honing in on, it's, you know, all this
coronavirus and pandemic, all this pandemic shit's really getting in
my fucking. You guys heard movie. About coronavirus?
What the hell is shit I'm hearing about?
Yeah. It's all not for real. It's kind of getting in the way of one of the things I want to try to do is I love, you know, we talked about comedic inspirations, but like Howard Stern, I mean, who isn't, you know, I mean, that's the fucking top dog, you know, listen to him forever of and his interviews and everything like that. So one thing that I really want to try to do and have kind of birthed it in my head is the series called First Impression with me, with Joey Molinaro. And essentially what it is, you know, the people who I've kind of become known for impersonating, whether it be like six or eight or whatever it is, people. It's just a series, a video series or an interview series of me interviewing these people. And, you know, I'm not doing the impression, but the tie-in is that it's somebody that I impersonate. So I would say, you know, my first coming up year at Barstool, and hopefully once all this clears over and I can be in New York City and everything like that, that can come more to fruition. But that's something that was kind of birthed of, you know, I love interviewing. I love those kind of shows. I love those kind of segments. And I just felt like it was like a unique way, because that's a question that I get a lot. It was like, you know, oh, have you talked to Coach O? Have you talked to Chris D'Elia? Like, what's Nick Saban think? Like, what's Cowherd, you know?
Yeah.
And I haven't really, you know, I have like indirect ties to them, but I don't have like that direct line. So I thought it could be unique and something that people could kind of get behind. So I'd say that's the, you know, besides just like daily writing or daily videos or whatever, that would be like the project that I'm kind of trying to baby and work on. So
I think that's brilliant, because then you can just really start forcing impressions you're not even that good at. And it's just like, here I am with Barack Obama. Right. Everyone knows my famous Obama impression.
Yeah, no, everyone knows I do a great LeBron James. So here I am.
Me and him, eye to eye. Yeah, that's, I think yeah. That starts off very earnestly. And then it's just like, oh man, here I am with Jim Carrey. Who saw this coming? Not me.
Yeah, well, somebody stop me. Yeah, you guys know I do. You know how he said that thing?
Yeah, no, exactly. So that's, you know, you're talking projects. That would be right now the big one, I'd say.
I like that. I like that. I think that in all seriousness.
And you're the first people I've told that to, besides, you know, some people behind the scenes and everything. So, you know, for mixtape listeners and everything, that dude, you guys are the first to know, besides like my wife and my brother-in-law. So
I think it's a strong idea. In all seriousness, I think it's strong.
Thanks.
Does Cowherd, like, I know on the show he was just like, oh yeah, this guy's funny. Da, da, da. Does he like actually hate you, do you think?
I don't think so. I think, and that's one of the reasons that, you know, I like Cowherd so much as I give him shit online and impersonate him and everything. Like I said, I've been listening to him since I was like 18 years old. You know, I mean, that's one of the reasons that, you know, the people that I impersonate them as well as I do, in my opinion, because I'm such a big fan of theirs. So like,
right.
I look at it as like a sign of respect while I'm kind of giving you shit and making fun of you. You know, I have followed you and know you so well that that's why I can do it as well as I can. So I don't think so. I think that he understands it. I think that, like he said in that clip, he thinks it's funny and it's kind of like an ultimate form of flattery for him. And to be honest, probably his ego is big enough to where he's like, oh, people are entertaining me, you know what I mean? So I don't think he hates me at all. No.
Yeah, that it is. What I liked about the clip of him talking about you is he was like, he even got the thing where I do my imaginary audience. It's like, yeah, dude, that wasn't some secret. Like, that people didn't see you doing that. Like,
you do it every day. You know, it's like, come on, man.
Yeah, he was right, like, how do you pick up on that?
I got a bug in my house.
Yeah. But that's one thing, like, me and Cal, like, I've, Frank Caliendo has been phenomenal, you know, since all the, you know, like we talk all the time. He, you know, when I was in middle school, he was like, I fucking knew his first
like his whole set with Letterman, right? Like I knew it by heart. Like, you know, I watched all of his Mike and Mike appearances. So like, you know, he could have easily been like, screw this kid, but he's been great. And that's one of the things that we talk about is like, sometimes somebody like Cowherd, he will know that somebody like me or Frank is doing an impression of him. And so that thing that he used to do at like the beginning of a show where he was like, ah, this is, he doesn't do that anymore because we picked up
y'all,
on
y'all it. In his head. So he, yeah.
So he doesn't do it anymore.
That's funny.
Yeah. It's funny.
Yeah. That's just you, your influence on him.
He terrifies. You got, yeah, you got him in a box. Yeah.
What a good dog. What's the, who we got there?
Oh, this is actually something I wanted to ask you about. This is this was kind of a gift from your newest enemy at Barstool Sports, Brandon Walker. Brandon Walker gave me this dog because he brought his dog up from Mississippi. He didn't know that dog was
his pregnant. Dog died.
Yeah, I was getting there. Wait, I mean, come on.
I didn't want to just set Joey up at this late at night.
Yeah, he would have hacked into the stream to tell us the dog died if one of us didn't say it. And
my
so
phone's ringing. What the heck? Yeah.
It spit out 6 puppies. He didn't want the puppies. The puppies killed the mother because the mother was like a year old and wasn't supposed to have puppies yet. That's what happens in backwater Mississippi. And
I mean, what was she doing at that part of town? You know,
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, she should have been dressed like that. And yeah, so Brandon Walker gave me that pup. His name is Kemba because Brandon's last name is Walker. I'm a Celtics fan, so he's Kemba Walker. Antoine's not a suitable name for a hound, I thought.
Dude, awesome. I don't disagree.
But Antoine. But yeah, so what do you think about your newest beef with Brandon Walker, who hates your guts immensely?
Yeah, what's, know, I missed like this one. What's this beef?
No, the Barstool quarantine houses came out today. And I found myself not by choice.
We're in the same house.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I was about to say. We got us two. We got Fran. We got Roan. Who is Jack? Who else?
That's pretty good.
Zahn Pat. Gay Pat.
Zahn Pat. I was feeling pretty good about our house, man. And I feel even stronger now that we were doing this show.
It's a good house, but I'll tell you what, when I saw Roan on there, I immediately was out because Roan, one of my best pals at Barstool, great guy, would hate living with him, especially by force, because he's a prankster and he's a bad person. So it would end poorly.
Sure. But
everybody in the house would conspire to murder Roan.
Like our spring break week would be really good.
Incredible. Incredible. Yeah.
You know, like we would have a great fucking time. But Brandon was not included and the 72 people that were in these quarantine houses. And he did not take too kindly that the
Brandon Walker didn't take.
Oh, I was shocked too, Tyler.
That the newest hire, myself, found my way on the list by not creating it myself. And so he had some choice words.
You should have stepped in.
Yeah, he had some choice words for me in his blog. And, you know, I responded in a professional, you know, Tom Brady type of way. I said, hey, solid comments. I'm not going to comment. You know, that's how he wants to be. I'm just trying to do my job. So we'll see what happens.
I think it's just my professional opinion. You should challenge him to rough and rowdy. Just put it all on the line. Just beat his ass.
Mm-hmm. Impersonate Mike Tyson. Like
Brandon kind of looks like me in like 25 years. If I was like the dude from the Goonies, I was like, hey, you guys.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Get his ass.
Yeah. If alcoholism and other terrible things happen to you, yeah, I could definitely see you look like Brandon.
Yeah, he's the Mississippi version of me 20 years from now.
Get his ass. I got Ryan Whitney, Tommy Smokes, Glennie Balls, Big Ev, myself, and Jim Florentine at my house.
That'd be a pretty cool house.
I think you and – because, what, you're 12?
Yes, house 12.
I think you and 10 were my two favorite houses other than my own.
It was 10 is, yeah, PFT, Robbie Fox, Carl, KB, Cons, and YP. That is a good house.
That is.
That's a strong house.
See, you that's got Tommy Smokes, and Tommy would just be doing stupid bullshit the whole time.
I love Tommy. I think
Tommy's, but I feel like Ryan Whitney will bust his butt, like, will keep it light.
He would
Florentine. Bounce like, yeah.
You and Florentine would just be talking about, like, I don't know, suicide the whole time. It'd be great.
Lynn, that's what I'm saying. I think we got a decent house. Like, I think we're – I feel pretty good.
It's extremely depressed, the YouTube. Yeah. Whitney'd be like, what is wrong with you two?
I thought it would be funny to see – I thought it would be funny to see Dave and Ellie.
Oh, man. You talk about two people who couldn't be on more opposite ends of the spectrum.
That'd be really funny.
In the wild, you see like a coyote versus like
turtle. I don't even know.
Right, but you don't. You like, I don't know who's gonna win here. Like, I don't know. It's a big turtle. Like, I don't know. It's a wild matchup.
Turtle. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I've seen their interactions, and they might as well be talking like completely different languages. It's incredible.
When last fall when Ellie was when all the Yankees fans got punished and Ellie had to like tell them what was going on, that was phenomenal. That was her favorite video on the internet. It's hilarious. Yes.
Oh god.
That was people Dave talk Ellie about and it,
Frank
that,
would be tremendous.
Oh yeah. No, Dave would kill himself. He would have no he would be like, I'm breaking quarantine.
He wouldn't because Marina's in there too. He couldn't do it. Not with Marina in there.
That's true.
That Where's KFC? What house is KFC in?
I don't think he was on there. I don't remember seeing him on there.
He would have been.
I would imagine.
He would have got upset as well. No, he's in house eight. It's KFC, Hank, Trista, Manis, Frankie, and Wallow.
That's pretty snob.
Wallow.
Wallow and Manis. Just...
just doing prison workouts together.
Yeah. Chin ups on the street light, yeah.
So were you with Manis and Indy? Because you were with Barstool Indy, yeah.
Uh huh. Yeah, that's where me and Mantis. We met me, Mantis, JB, Jordan Berry.
Yep.
Who else? My wife.
Dibs.
My wife. There.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I met her there.
You were like, who's there?
What's her name?
I met my wife there. We got married last September. Jake, Bass, Booze, some producers, videographers. And then Vibs, funny enough, my senior year of college, I interned at the Bob and Tom Show, which is like a variety show, comedy show that's syndicated, but it's based in Indianapolis. And Vibs worked there.
Vibs was Bob.
Yeah. And so he was like kind of my intern director. Like I kind of like reported to Vibs. And dude, it's so funny because, you know, Vibs.
Imagine Vibs chewing somebody out.
Bro, I would submit something to him, and Vibs, you know, I'd be like, yeah, I mean, that looks, you know, like, that looks pretty good. I like it. I think that looks pretty good. And, so we've come full circle, me and Vibs, way back in the day, like 5 years ago. But those are my...
I want those orders on my desk, Molinar. Yes, sir, Mr. Vibbert.
Yeah,
like...
yeah exactly. So it's funny. It was good to... JB, she like showed us around when we were in New York, and it was good. Latham, $20 chef.
Oh, yeah.
He was with Pat, and my wife worked on that show, the birth of $20 chef way back when. So, interesting. So before
are you moving to New York? Planning to move to New York? Or are you planning to stay? Okay.
No, very excited. Very excited, and praying that all this stuff ends so we can get out there, because that was my first time in the city was when we went out there about a month ago. And man, I just loved it. I fell in love with it. My wife had been there before, and we're ready to roll. So
okay. I was going to say, what are some of your concerns about New York? What questions, as someone who lived there for 3 years, what questions do you have about living there? Anyone who walks up to you and announces themselves as the wallet inspector, they're lying. Don't give them your wallet.
No, I'm gonna. Yeah.
Wait, like, that guy was phony.
It's like the elevator pass. Like you're. I don't know if you guys had that. My like freshman year of high school was like, there's no such thing as an elevator pass. I'd say just the commute, honestly, dude. Like, I'm gonna be a little bitch, but like, taking the subway or something for like 40 minutes. I don't really
know. Did you take it while you were in the city? Did you take the subway any?
No.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So that's where it's like we're kind of on the fence between looking at living in like Brooklyn or living in Manhattan closer to the office. And like Brooklyn, from what Erica told us, so my wife's research kind of offers like, I don't know, more of like a neighborhood type feel apparently or whatever. And but it's long commute. And then Manhattan, you know, surrounded by skyscrapers and all whatnot. But I've been walking to work where I am in Indy for the past year. Kind of would like to walk to work in New York, but
yeah.
Walking to work sounds great until it's like pouring rain and the puddles. Like you'll walk off sidewalks every day of your life. And then there will be a puddle that you assume like, oh, I know how deep it is there because I walk here all the time. And then you take a step and you're like, why am I dick and balls wet? So it's very deceptive. Well,
you're not learning your lesson. You just got to stay careful.
But I lived in Brooklyn and Queens back and forth through the 3 years there. I never lived in Manhattan. I know plenty of people who do. The commute's really not that bad. You get used to it. And it's good. What I found, it's good decompression time, especially on the way home.
You used to driving everywhere though? Like I'm guessing Indiana's spread out. Like you just people get around.
Yeah, I mean typically. But we've lived downtown Indianapolis for the last year and I work like right in the middle of downtown Indianapolis, so it's like a 3-block walk.
Okay. So you can't beat that,
from my place to where I used to work. My wife has like a 40-minute commute drive to her old job, but so she's used to doing that. But yeah, I mean, I've become kind of accustomed on a very much smaller scale to walking around and just not using my car very, you know, I won't touch my car for like a week just because I'm walking to the fucking market or work or whatever. So I think that helped when I went to New York to visit, because like I said, on a much smaller scale, even in Indianapolis, I was already used to, you know, being in kind of the hubbub, like the city life, walking everywhere, rush hour, you know what I mean? So it wasn't as weird of a transition going out there as like, you know, if we were sort of lived in the burbs and then going out there, I feel like it would have been. So,
yeah. I also liked being on different islands, made it my brain do different things too. Like when I was in Manhattan, it was like, it's time to work. Like it's time to get up. And when I was in Brooklyn, I could, especially on the weekends, like take a breath a little bit. So it was good, because especially in this world, it's easy to get like caught up in and be like, this is my whole life now. So having that a little bit of separation definitely helped mentally, because it's a grind when everything's working, everything's humming, especially during football season. Like you're in it. And with as much as you're passionate about football, I feel like that's going to be something you find yourself in a lot as well. So I would take that into consideration. What's the missus gonna do? She's a saint for moving with you. You can follow this dream. What's she gonna do in New York?
Yeah, that's a good that's one of the main selling points of coming here. Not to reveal too much, but folks at Barstool were very curious and interested in not only me but her life. They took, you know, a lot of intrigue in what was next for her and how they could help. She works in marketing and events in Indy right now.
There's no marketing in New York. So she's gonna
No, you guys are – you talk.
No events or marketing.
You talk about hustling backwards. Yeah.
So she's going to be looking into that and hopefully get some help from some of the folks at Barstool to kind of get her stuff circled around and to the right people. But, you know, she's a trooper. You know, she's not too worried about it right now. So that's the plan for her.
For sure. Yeah. No, I feel like there's going to be so much. She's going to be out waging you pretty soon.
Oh, yeah.
Without question.
Putting on events and everything. I mean, just some schmuck on the internet. And, you know, she's going to be doing big stuff.
So. Yeah. I got 100 retweets, babe. She's like, I'm going to fuck.
He's like, I made $100,000 today. He's like, oh, 101. 101.
For sure.
What's it been like? We're not going to keep you here all night, but what's it been like?
No, yeah, awesome. We are. We don't
know. Yeah,
before this became like, oh, that was going to be my career. when you start seeing like Quentin Nelson, people like that retweeting your stuff, when you see like Honey Badger, I see he's a big fan. When you see guys like that who are just like, hey, this guy's really funny. And you were just like, I was just wearing a shirt and tie every day and now I'm making videos. Like, what's that feel like?
You know, I mean, after I, you know, turned 14 years old and realized I wasn't going to play center field for the Chicago Cubs, it was like, you know, my next dream was, you know,
sobering.
I know. Right. My next dream was to do stuff like this, you know, it was to be funny, to, have people come to me to enjoy things. You know, obviously you guys have found so far in our hour or so of talking that I'm not one for, you know, negativity or bullshit like that. I just want to have fun. And
I don't like it.
I know, right? I don't have hot enough takes.
I can't wait. I want to have you back on. I will have you back on again before this, but like after a year of living in New York, see if you're a little bit more negative. Just a little bit.
Yeah, is Andrew Dice Clay now?
Hickory dickory dock. No, but I, you know, I could be negative about a lot of shit. And I mean, that's where a lot of like my bits or like my ideas come from, is like kind of being a cynic and being like looking at things in like a Seinfeld kind of way. But then when it comes to like the product of it or like what I'm doing to get enjoyment out of my life, then I can flip a switch pretty quick. So I'd like to think that even being in New York, like, you know, I might be like, God, this, you know, the commute sucks, or these, you know, people that I, you know, run into on the way to work suck, or whatever it is. But like, anyways,
bagels, you guys ever hear about these?
So the initial question. Oh yeah. But like Honey Badger, and you know, it's just, I mean, the only way you can kind of say it, I mean, you guys have been here long enough, like it's just surreal, dude. You know, like, I mean, my senior year of high school, like I wanted to like do the reverse Honey Badger. He had the, you know, he had dark hair, did the mohawk blonde. I wanted to have the blonde hair and do the dark, you know what I mean? Like, that was a legit thing. Like, yeah, I mean, so for him to like follow me, and just as a small example, it's just surreal, man. And you know, I just, you know, I enjoy the hell out of it, and like, you know, I don't take it for granted, and I'm just happy as hell to be here, honestly. You know what I mean? I mean, that's all it comes down to. So
Tyler's gonna throw up.
Yeah, I'm sick. Positivity, gratitude.
I know.
That's
I
the
know.
Thing about all you people from Indianapolis. Yeah, you JB Viv. Monsters, all of you. Heartland are all the same.
JV may be like the nicest person on earth. I can't even look at it.
Tomato.
I know. It's just part of being, you know, here from the heartland, I guess. You know, now I'm getting an Andrew Luck, you know. You know what I mean? So it's fun, man. But
you asked if you could prepare anything for this, a wildly insulting question for me and Tyler. But so I asked you to think deeply about cereal. What comes to your mind when you think about breakfast cereal?
Talk about it.
Man, you put me on the spot here. I feel like
I didn't. This is the only thing I gave you advance on. This is the opposite of being on the spot.
You didn't put me on the spot. I knew it was coming, but you put me on the spot to go first.
I said no cereal.
We've got like 4 years of cereal takes, so I don't think people want to hear from us anymore.
That's what I'm saying. It's like I'm going to be so basic, but it starts and stops for me at Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
That's the correct answer.
I mean, I had two bowls earlier today. You know, I was like a little snack at like 2:30, just because I wasn't even hungry. I was just like, you know what? I want some Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
I ain't been hungry in 3 weeks. Ask me how many times I've eaten regardless of this fact. Like, nobody eats because they're hungry.
I used to before this. Now I find myself not hungry ever, but I'm like, I know I need food to live.
Put it in there. Yeah. Open the gullet. I mean, Cinnamon Toast Crunch is one. Not oddly enough, but Fruit Loops are a big thing for me.
Okay.
They came on strong in the last 3 years. As a kid, I was not a big fan. And for some reason, like since fall of 2017, me and Fruit Loops have had a really good
remembers thing. The day. Yeah.
We've had like an oddly weird thing going on here.
Have you tried them with Fruit Loops or with marshmallows? Fruit Loops with marshmallows?
No, man. That's getting on to a Lucky Charms-esque there, right?
Just with a better mix.
Like yeah. A it's something. It's worth trying, I would say.
Marshmallows. Okay. I'm dying. Shit.
It's a good time.
You can't, like, during quarantine, I found that too. Like I said, I had like 2:30. You can't go wrong with cereal. I mean,
I carry like 8 boxes out of my house the other day, like dead bodies, like just absolutely housing cereal.
Dude, I mean, you know, whether it's 8 a.m., whether it's 2 p.m., whether it's 10:30 p.m., give me a bowl of cereal, we're good to go. That passes me on to the next thing, man, which is probably a bowl of cereal.
Yeah, I'm going to fix me a bowl after we get off this for certain. I'm trying. I keep eyeballing those Hershey's Kisses ones, Tyler. I just can't buy them. I don't know what it is.
I'm just waiting for them to go on sale. They'll go on sale. They all do. These new ones, they make way too much. I keep seeing the Sour Patch Kids just went on sale, which is good. I don't want them, but they're my reference point because when new cereals start going on sale. So I know they're coming soon.
The Eggo ones are. Have you tried the Eggo ones yet?
I bought the blueberry waffle ones. Haven't tried them yet.
Okay. What the hell are you waiting for?
Listen, I told you I've been housing other. But I was like, let me clear out some of this clutter before I get into the.
Let me get some space.
Yeah, the new stuff. Yeah.
See, that's the thing is, I'm not very experimental with my cereal. I don't know. I don't know if that's a Midwest thing or I don't know, but I just. Yeah, I stick to the mains, you know.
Yeah, I wouldn't blame an entire region of people on your personal decision.
Also, like you said, if it's a steady, you can go to as any time as you want. You want something good every time, so I get it. You don't want to mess with a good thing.
CTC, Fruit Loops, Crunch Berries.
Crunch Berries are good.
Cookie Crisp.
Ooh. Oh, boy.
That was bad.
We got to delete the whole show, Mick. What are we gonna do for tomorrow? What do we do about tomorrow's show, man? Because
in my mind,
I thought he was a nice guy. You know, what I'm saying?
Serial killer sitting among us this whole time.
Wow.
Can I slide a Frosted Flakes in there?
It's too late.
Never have I ever drove a school bus off a bridge. Never ever wore a blue shirt.
Yeah, no, it's Cookie Crisp. Tyler, tell him your preferred cookie cereal.
Okay, listen. You like chocolate chip cookies, right?
Yeah.
You like them in cereal, right?
Yeah.
The actual Chips Ahoy cookie itself is not good. It's just the idea of cookie in a cereal. I upgraded cereal. Have you seen like the Oreo minis?
Yeah.
I put those in a bowl of milk. That's how you get cookies. If you want cookies as cereal and diabetes, if you want those two things, that's how you get those two things.
Lucky Charms are good too.
Oh boy. Mick is going to yell at you. Yeah.
Oddly enough, I was thinking about this the other day. I think as a kid, Lucky Charms were disappointing because they didn't have enough marshmallows for my 11-year-old diabetes-searching self. But I found, like, the older I get, they actually have a good balance going on with Cheerios and marshmallows. I've seen the light on Lucky Charms.
Old ass. That's the oldest thing I've ever heard in my life.
That's it, man. I don't, you know. I never got into Cocoa Puffs. The commercial was annoying.
Yeah, that was a crackhead. Their mascot was a literal crackhead.
I was like, dude, man.
Yeah, turn it down.
Shut up.
Listen, I ain't tried tricks for years because I didn't like what they was getting at in their commercials.
See, Apple Jacks, I was like, Cheerios, too heart healthy, old people.
I do like how Cheerios lately is just. They're putting whatever in a cereal. I saw like a toasted coconut. I saw chocolate Cheerio. Like they're doing, if it has a berry, it's been a type of Cheerio. I was like, you know what? I respect, like they stayed steady for so long. Now they're Like they just got divorced. Yeah, that's exactly it.
Again, why?
Yeah, letting their hair down.
Yeah, like, dyed it
Barry,
color, yeah.
Very berry. Wow.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. It's like with crunch berries, the alt. I agree with here with you. Is the crunch berries that are all berries? There has to be. You can't have too much of one thing.
Has to be some balance.
Yeah, we gotta shake hands in the middle here. You gotta appreciate the berries.
I think that Fruit Loops with marshmallows, I think it works because that's the limit. Anything over that, like I just tried Trix with marshmallows, it was too much. It was just too much.
Trix was just like, you guys ever had Steak and Shake?
Oh yeah.
No. Goalie, no?
Really? Y'all don't have a? Wow. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I've had it.
Cincy? Troy, are you originally from Cincinnati?
I have family up there. So I went to school in Kentucky.
Kentucky. Okay. So you know the region.
Yeah, I'm familiar. Yeah.
Yeah. So then Steak and Shake. But it's like Trix to me was like Steak and Shake fries. Right? Mm. Like they're like the fries are too thin. The Trix were too there wasn't enough like girth there.
Surface area.
Yeah. Exactly. Like got with crunch berries, okay. You have like the big crunch.
Shoestring cereal. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got
horrifying.
That makes perfect sense.
That's like those pellets Jeff Lowe fed us.
Oh man, I don't want to beat him up.
That was disgusting.
Let's do a live stream of me whooping Jeff Lowe's ass for
fine with it.
Because he reposted that cereal video the other day. And I was like, I forgot some of that bullshit he made us try.
That was terrible. Thin Mint cereal. Disgusting. Aww. Absolutely disgusting. Are you a big French fry guy, Joey?
Oh, yeah.
Tyler might hang up.
Not French fry? More
time. Okay. Like, I think there are much better ways to cook a potato. Much. Like, I think tater tots are better. Hash browns are better. Mashed potatoes are better.
I mean, don't get me wrong, man. I can go, you know, I can go toe-to-toe with some tots and some fries.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if I have that option, I will go tots every time. So I feel like potatoes in any way are pretty much good money. And French fries just feel like, for the most part, a waste of that.
Yeah.
To me.
Yeah.
Imagine if you pulled up to McDonald's though and they were just like, here's your burger and mashed potatoes. Like you'd throw up.
Nah. Even I'd be like, hey, extra butter, please. Now, do y'all have a cookout in Indiana?
Joey? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I thought so.
Yeah.
So you know about like the, would you get fries anywhere? But if you had an option to get in like chicken nuggets or hot dog or corn dog, whatever cookout, if you had that option everywhere, would you ever get French fries?
Like at a fast food place or at the cookout?
At the any fast food place.
Basically like saying if you could apply cookouts crazy.
Their mantra.
Their mantra of like, yeah, you can have whatever as a side. It doesn't have to be fries. So if you could go to anywhere and it's just like, yeah, I'll have a quarter pounder and also McNuggets. I don't even want the fries. I'll just take the nuggets.
Oof. Nah,
you'd never get fries again.
No, man, that's the thing for me is like it all, you know, everything in a meal has its
part,
has its place, you know. It's like Belichick. It's like, do your job, you know what I mean? Like you got the burger, which is the quarterback and the main thing, and then you got your fries, which is the receiver on the outside. Your dips are the offensive linemen kind of holding the glue together. So I look at them in two separate categories, whereas like if you're eating out to eat food, yes, you have to have like the fry or like the side that's like a tot or a fry or something like that. Mm. But in a cookout, nothing. No holds barred. So you
get 7-on-7.
Yeah. No holds barred. You have, you know, two hot dogs and a burger and then some mac and cheese. You know what I mean? There's no.
Love it. Chocolate chip shake, like to wash it all down. Exactly. I like the versatility.
Hell yeah. Live meal.
Tyler's been throwing this anti-fry propaganda at everyone. I think you handled it better than anyone he's thrown it at.
People starting to see the vision, man.
That's it's an ambitious vision on your part, I think.
You have such a small window for French fries to be of real service to you. And if you're getting them fast food drive through, and depending on what kind of journey you got home, come on, man. Those nuggets holding heat, though. That corn dog holding heat.
Have you guys ever had, Culver's?
I've heard good things, though.
I'm not a fan. I know Midwest, I know they love Culver's. I'm not a fan.
Why not?
It just tasted like it wasn't bad. It was fine. It just felt like really hyped up. Like it was fine.
It's Midwest and out.
Yeah, man. They have more options though. I will give them that. Culver's has a bigger menu.
Culver's like a grocery store too, or am I mixing that up with somewhere else?
Yeah, it makes
sense. Yeah, okay. I don't know that one.
All right. Listen, I'm wrong. I'm wrong constantly, so that's fine.
No, it's different regions. The fries at Culver's, Trill, those are like some thick, crinkle cut, those are worthwhile fries there.
I'm really trying to think, because if I had it, I may have already been anti-fry by then, so I don't know if I've ever tried that fry. When we can go back outside in 12 months, I would try Culver's.
If I can mix like Five Guys burgers with Culver's fries, I think that's
that's another one of my things about fry. Like, it's so rare to find a place with good fries. Like you said, Culver's has good fries. Like, I think like Checkers, Rally's, whatever has good fries, Arby's, a couple places, but just about your just default fry for the most part, I'd rather have just about any other side.
Man, good for you.
Thanks.
It's positivity. It's rare.
Yeah, not for real.
I don't like it.
That's respectable.
Cut this guy's vine.
Yeah. Oh, that's what you need. Have you met Devlin?
Yeah.
You need to do something where he's Jim Rome and you're pick whoever.
No, dude. I mean, this was like my first week, but I did the Monday Night Football auditions.
Oh, that's right.
And I did a couple characters, and like PFT was Greeny, and who else? Somebody else did something. Or Carl was Lou Holtz, and then Devlin was Rome, man.
He nails Rome. He's got a couple in his bag that he absolutely nails Rome.
Dude, he did. He called Mike Greenberg a simp. That for sure made the for sure made the cut. It was great. My man.
Yeah. No.
We're going out to Bernardino, San Bernardino. Cut this guy's vine.
That was a good one for sure. Made the cut.
Yeah, we typically do NBA draft show every year that we very much overproduce, and we have crazy intros where he's Jim Rome. And I don't even know if we're going to be able to do it this year.
I don't know if there's going to be a draft to even, like, they're going to do the draft on Skype like we are.
Hey, they're going to do that for the NFL draft, but NBA drafts is a solid 2.5 months away.
I'm hoping, man. Here's this positive garbage again. Oh, brother.
Man, I'm not celebrating Christmas over Zoom, man. It's not happening.
Listen, man, I got some bad news. Yeah, you might not have a choice. Yeah.
I can't do it. Christmas, I didn't even think about Christmas.
Oh.
Not doing it. Thanksgiving dinner, not breaking bread over Zoom, man.
Oh, everybody eating dinner, they cook themselves. Oh.
Sickening. All right, let's hear your favorite holiday. This is always contentious between me and Tyler.
My favorite holiday is hands down Christmas.
Yeah. Correct answer.
Here, a little caveat.
Oh boy.
Uh oh.
He's like, I like all the holidays. They're all great. Yeah.
They're all
every day's a blessing.
Yeah.
Oh man, now I'm Tim Tebow or something.
My second favorite holiday, the day before Christmas. My third, the day before that.
Yeah. No. Okay, that's pretty funny you said that, though, Trill, because I'm about to. Okay, so really, in all reality, Christmas Day is included in this. But my favorite 24 hours of the year is Christmas Eve at noon to Christmas Day at noon.
It's a strong window. I like that.
That's a good take. I like that.
Because my family growing up was always a Christmas Eve family too. Like Christmas Eve night, like kick things off, and then the next day it carried over, and then by like two, no one's talking to each other.
What? Dude, like
perfect.
Christmas Eve night, what a better party. Like, are you kidding me? You just thinking about how tomorrow's Christmas, and then like you said, you know, NBA games are getting you until like 3, maybe 3:30, and then by that time, fucking go to sleep. It's over.
The holiday's so great, you want to cut it in half, man. That's not a good blow for Christmas.
That's not what we just did. If anything, we extended it by 0.5.
Nah, but then you always get like that. You go through that like 3 to like 7 p.m. depression. And then at like 7:45. All right,
tell it all.
No. 3 to like 7 o'clock, you're like, oh, God, it's over. Whole nother year. This sucks.
Yep, but then four like glasses of wine in,
Yeah. Then 7:45, you're over at the in-laws, and you're like, what a great day.
This sucks.
I don't have to work tomorrow. Okay, this is fun. We got bowl games on 2 days.
I get to watch Toledo versus Eastern Carolina.
Hey, I'm a sick football dude. Right. I'm a football guy's guy. True. That's what I think. But that's my choice.
Yeah, no, Chris, but Tyler's just a regular Grinch about the day. I don't know what.
I cannot wait to hear what Troy
is. It's fine. I'm a Thanksgiving guy. No. I go Thanksgiving over Christmas.
Did she say yes or no?
She said no.
Smart.
Thanksgiving.
Overrated.
Oh, wow.
I think Thanksgiving is – I am very strong on Thanksgiving because
– I bet you are a positive boy.
He's like, Halloween, that's a good one.
I like Labor Day. Yeah, we got to – we got to get him and Sheck together.
Bro, I do love Halloween.
I know you do.
But Thanksgiving,
Mother's Day, Father's Day,
no pressure, no gifts, no depression that it's over, because then you're thinking, hey, I got a month and it's all Christmas time. My radio station at home is going to be playing Christmas music on my drive home from Grandma and Grandpa's on Thanksgiving night. Oh, and by the way, I'm going shopping the next day. Oh, yeah. And by the way, biggest weekend in college football that weekend. A lot of positivity over Thanksgiving.
Can I hear the why it's overrated?
Rye, why is it overrated? It's my wife. Guest spot.
Hi, I'm Riley.
Hi, Riley. Let's hear this terrible take.
Have like a huge umbrage with turkey, and everyone like convinces themselves that they like turkey a lot, and which is great. Like lunch meat turkey, whatever, it's fine, but. Like when people roast a turkey on Thanksgiving, nobody is there for the turkey. Everyone's only there for the sides. Ham is honestly a better route to take, or a good like pot roast. But honestly, we're all like
y'all innovative family. I like ourselves
to like turkey on Thanksgiving, and nobody's really there for that. And I just it's like a false holiday.
I don't know. To me, it's like fireworks on 4th of July, right? Like. You're not having fireworks on Thanksgiving. You have it on 4th of July. You're not having turkey on 4th of July. You're having it on Thanksgiving.
But
so fireworks also
turkey is almost never good. Unless you have some really badass, like, if you have some really badass relatives that are deep frying a
turkey. I was going to say. You guys dark meat.
Yeah, but for the most part, like.
Whose fault is that, though? If the majority of the people is doing things poorly, whose fault is, like, that's their fault. Y'all have had deep fried turkey? Yeah. Tremendous. Oh,
yeah.
So like, now I agree. That's a different species.
The majority of people are not doing Christmas wrong. Like you've got Christmas down for generations.
Correct. No, like, listen,
I would agree with that. Yeah.
Christmas gifts on Christmas Eve night, then that's
fine. No, you do one gift on Christmas Eve.
Yeah. You start the gift opening on Christmas Eve.
Where's your group now?
Y'all don't even know how to celebrate. Look at this.
No, I do. Me and Riley do. But what I would like to say is you couldn't have nailed that take any better if you tried. If people love turkey so much, they'd make it more than once a fucking year. It's that simple. Right.
When people do make turkey more than once a year, everyone's like, oh, what's why are we having Thanksgiving in June?
Yeah, someone dying? What's going on?
Right, right. Like, it's a weird thing that people do, and everyone's like, oh, we just wanted turkey in the middle of the year. And it's like, no, that's just Thanksgiving in June. Yeah,
the pilgrims made turkey because when they landed in Plymouth, the beach was infiltrated with them. There were so many, they were like, let's just kill them and eat them. There's nothing else we could do.
I've never seen a wild turkey in any state that wasn't infiltrated with beaches. I've only ever seen a wild turkey in Florida.
You can make the argument. You don't have fireworks on Thanksgiving. You don't have Easter eggs on Christmas. You don't have
fireworks candy. Are still fun.
Oh, that's the thing. They're really loud and they scare people and they scare animals. Yeah.
Veterans.
They leave a lot of mess. You thought about our veterans, Riley? I think not.
She doesn't support the troops. What am I doing?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Get out of Dodge, like, man.
You don't have hot dogs on the grill in October. You know, like, you have chili in October. Right. You have chili in June. You know,
I would counter. I don't think we're, to what she said, one, I eat turkey more than that, but I agree most people don't. So she's right. But also, again, when she said pot roast, I agree. My entire thing has been, let's open up. Like, if you don't like turkey, okay, yeah. What do you like? Let's bring a rotisserie chicken. Bring a pizza. Bring, like, whatever you want. Let's open this up. Taco
Thanksgiving. Me and my dad did taco Thanksgiving one year.
I love it. Yeah.
Incredible. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I like turkey. I feel like it should be one of, like, everything else. Like, okay, some people, like, okay, you don't like macaroni and cheese. Okay, get your mashed potatoes, your green, whatever you like. Turkey has become the star of the show. I think it's one of the players. More options in there.
That's the thing. I don't think it's ever been the star because people always love to talk about their favorite sides. No one, like, there's never like a huge white versus dark meat debate.
Listen, there was one day when H.R. Purdue or Mr. Big Turkey Man was like, people are going to eat this and like this forever.
But that's the thing. Like, it's just a part of like the table dressing to me. Like, it's there, but like, this was the big breakthrough we made last year when we were opening it up to like, if you put a rack of ribs on my Thanksgiving table, yeah, I'm gonna like the day a lot more.
Okay, whose fault is that it's not on there?
I don't cook on that day. I make a pie. Everyone knows
manly man, listen to this guy.
Yeah, that's why everyone associates with manly men, baking pies.
Yeah, look, I got eggs and milk.
You said pie now, though, but that opens up to a whole new thing. You know what I mean? So you just, every
block,
we got a whole new debate that's going on.
I think Thanksgiving is too, people have it too locked in, and I'm like, why? I think, like, whatever, because everybody has whatever tweaks. Okay, add turkey, remove it. Yeah, like you said, pot roast. I would love, like, ooh, a little pot roast at Thanksgiving. That'd be a great addition.
That'd be hype, yeah.
And, like, a smaller turkey, I think it's, like, when everybody gets these big 20-pound turkeys, it took 8 hours in the oven.
Oh, they have, like KFC turkey, where it's, like, you have it by, like, a little leg or something, and you just...
Yeah, listen, my suggestion, or my counter, is just turkey legs.
Yeah, I was just thinking, my guy from Dallas.
Yeah, exactly. Because turkey legs... The people that like turkey are probably eating turkey legs more often than turkey. I am a turkey liker myself. And yeah, you add that, that's an option. You don't have to spend 8 hours on this. It's just some turkey. I'll be like, oh, okay, a turkey leg. I'll grab a little pot roast. I'll grab some, rack of ribs, a couple of things of ribs, slice of pizza.
Just a Thanksgiving smorgasbord.
Open it up. That's really all I'm saying.
Like if I could get Thanksgiving sponsored by Wingstop, it'd be the best Thanksgiving ever.
See, this has been my argument because people always, Thanksgiving lovers, people who have it one in their power rankings, always talk about like the drinking and the food. So my counter has always been, it's just 4th of July with worse weather and food. Like 4th of July has drinking and better food and you're outside and it's hot. Like, I don't know how they don't have 4th of July above Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
listen, it's up there. I mean, it's like, listen, I don't know how you don't like Michael Jordan and LeBron James. It's like, listen, I think they're both really good, dude. I don't know.
Fourth of July is 3rd, but the reasoning why Thanksgiving is above that is because of it's a
sports,
it's a
hangover. The football.
Yeah,
right. It's an outside effect of the football, but then also the hangover aspect of Christmas. You know what I mean?
You also don't get as much time off also. Like 4th of July, you might get a day that turns into a 3-day weekend. Thanksgiving, you're getting 4 minimum every time.
Right. And yeah, you have the bad hangover with 4th of July. Then you're like, damn, we're in the dog days of summer. I got to get through until Labor Day.
Right. It's just baseball from here on out.
Right.
Yeah. Well, for us, it's like 4th of July has become like free agency starts, which in the NBA is a huge fucking day.
For sure. And every year that I've gotten older, I've loved 4th of July more. Yeah. It like become like a bigger thing for whatever the aspect of it. One, that's like the day that me and my wife started dating is the 4th of July, literally.
I can see that.
Answer, yeah.
So that's
yeah, I agree. Yeah, that pushes Christmas even further. 4th of July probably better than Christmas too.
So terrible take.
much better food. Oh boy.
No, the food on Christmas is weird. It's always like an Italian for some reason.
It's like much. It's much worse shit from Thanksgiving. The stuff you didn't really want to eat from Thanksgiving.
No, everybody's tired.
Everybody's tired because they've been shopping.
They're yeah, like,
that's you doing it wrong. It's I don't know.
Whatever.
You can have whatever you want on Christmas. That's a wild take. What are you doing on Christmas, Tyler? That you're having like leftover, a month old leftovers.
No, I'm talking about new stuff, but it's like, what new food? Like, you brought out all the pitches on Thanksgiving. So, where else are you bringing that on Christmas? You bring them out again? It's fine, but Thanksgiving stole all the thunder. Like, if you was looking forward to grandma's mashed potatoes, you got it for Thanksgiving. Now, you'll eat them again for Christmas, duh. But you're
more focused on presents.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving is a food holiday.
Here's some shit I don't need. Yeah.
It's chaos.
Columbus Day slick better than Christmas.
Yeah, that's it. Indigenous Peoples Day, asshole.
Have a heart. Yeah.
Yeah, we all got robbed of St. Patty's Day too this year. You know,
as you
get older, that's a huge one. And you know,
Memorial Day is another one that's climbing up my rankings as I.
That feels like summer's said, Thanksgiving. If you're talking about it as like a kickoff for a holiday season.
Yeah, it is, because in that and Labor Day, it's like, okay, these are your prime cooking out days.
Cooking out for sure. And as an indie dude, Memorial Day, that's race weekend.
Oh, yeah.
So that's probably number four for me. It's like a 3B to 4th of July. It's big.
Okay. All right.
Like sports related. Yeah, like first weekend of March Madness, it's not a holiday, but it's a holiday. Like somebody said that was their favorite holiday. I'd be like, okay, I get it.
Super Bowl Sunday? That's number five.
We should absolutely have that Monday off. So that should definitely be a holiday.
It's either that, and we talk about this all the time, but it's either that Monday should be off, move MLK's birthday, however they have to make that work on the calendar.
It's just President's Day.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just President's Day.
Yep.
Or just have it play on Saturday. Play it on Saturday.
Play the game?
Yeah.
Nah, I'm fine with it being on Saturday. We should just have the Monday off.
I'm cool with
the games on Sunday. Yeah, just give us – just move President's Day 2 weeks sooner, and everybody has Super Bowl Monday off. Call it President's Day. Call it whatever you want. But
right.
Yeah.
It feels like an easy fix that they just refuse to fix.
Before we get out of here, what's worst holiday? What's everybody's worst holiday?
Easter.
Christmas. No.
Dude.
No, I'm kidding.
No, he isn't. You really believe that?
No, I don't think it's the worst one.
Easter, for sure.
Easter damn, sticks.
What's the Easter hatred? Damn, y'all hate Jesus? I didn't know this.
The reason it's a holiday is because a lot of people did hate Jesus.
Yeah, and they said we're celebrating that the haters didn't win. Yeah.
Listen, no. I love Jesus. Respect. I respect him for fucking, you know, making the comeback, but.
More than the troops.
But, like, in terms of getting together and celebrating, like, just celebrate on your own. Yeah, you know, like, I can be happy for Jesus, but I don't gotta throw on a baby blue polo and go, you know, hunt eggs with my cousins. Like, I just
y'all don't get an Easter dinner, man.
Easter
dinner alone don't qualify. Easter dinner at is worst.
What? I'd rather have Halloween chili dinner. And desserts.
Halloween chili. That's not a thing.
You're losing me, Mullen. Yeah.
Halloween. I have chili every Halloween.
Yeah, you do. I'm sorry. That's not like a national. It's like
everyone knows. Yeah, it's Joey Day.
It should be. Chili on Halloween? Are you kidding me?
Listen, it's I don't disagree with what you're saying, but you just threw it out there. Like, that's
like it's New Year's. First of January, everyone knows. Yeah.
I don't
know. Yeah, that's their big pot of orange and purple chili. And
yeah, some festive autumn light leaf colored chili.
Yeah, listen, now this year I'll probably make some Halloween chili now that you brought it up. But to proclaim that, like, that's something we've all been doing all this time.
Hey, I thought it was like the perfect, you know, Halloween, you got chili, Easter, or Thanksgiving, you got turkey. You know,
what's your beef with Easter dinner, Mitt?
I think it's just, if we're comparing it to the rest of the holidays, I think it's by far the worst.
All of them, though? But I'm saying, like, dinner alone don't keep that from being, like, I would say I think New Year's is the worst to me.
No. I was talking about just the holidays we associate with dinners. I think Easter's is the worst dinner. And that's all Easter has.
I mean, listen, it's the fourth of four good players, man.
And you know what really pisses me off about Easter? You never know whether a bunny is chocolate or is solid or hollow. And when you get a fucking hollow one, like, what's the point? What's the point?
Listen, it's still chocolate. There's still, yeah, like, well, you just throw it away after you find it out. Get out of here. No, yeah, you don't like Easter candy is strong. Like, Halloween's got the candy holiday.
That's the thing. Nowadays,
Easter candy's good, man.
As someone who trolls the aisles of Target far too frequently, every holiday's got all the same candy now. So I can't even give Easter that.
Well, they were innovators. I don't disagree, but they were innovators.
I mean, it's like, I guess you could consider Valentine's Day in a way. In a way, you could consider that.
Valentine's Day is second worst.
I'd probably put Valentine's Day before Easter. I don't know. I'm looking my way. It's close.
How do we feel? Yeah.
I don't mind Valentine's Day. I think it gets a bad rap. I think it gets, I think a lot of people are. I get why people don't like it, but the people who are, like, in loving relationships who hate it, maybe you're not in a loving relationship.
Duh. That's the point.
I think New Year's is the worst.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I was like. Easter before New Year's? I think New Year's is the worst holiday.
Holiday. I don't even know what food you'd associate. What's your...
New Year? Yeah. I always eat hoagies on New Year's.
Eggs Benedict. Yeah.
That's my New Year's chili. My New Year's food is New Year's Eve. It's usually Chinese takeout food. And then for dinner, you know, 5 o'clock on New Year's Day while the Rose Bowl is happening, is, you know, usually a ham.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
You're getting my attention.
I mean, New Year's isn't my favorite by any means, but Easter, there is literally, you know, once you get past, you know, 6 years old or 5 years old or whatever it is, and like the Easter bunny stops bringing you good shit. Mm. Like, there is, and besides the fact that, like, you know, whatever you believe in, you know, redeemed us or whatever, there is
that garbage. Yeah.
There's zero redeeming qualities to Easter.
Absolutely. I'll say that there's a point where it's like, okay, you're eating like the candy, doing the stretches. And then if you get to a point where you're around, it's kind of like Christmas in that sense. If you're around kids at Christmas, them having fun makes you have fun. That's kids at Easter. Me. Yeah. Like seeing them like doing Easter egg hunts and all that. And dude, fucking up all their candy when they turn away. Yeah.
I don't know.
Not buying it.
My brother-in-law is like, Easter's like the most important holiday. I'm like,
that's absurd.
That's wrong. I'm sorry.
I almost want to invite him onto this just to tell him it's wrong and then hang up on
it. Yeah, I'm out of here. St. Patrick's Day, not really that cool to me.
We should all do that. But he was like,
that's racist.
We did 2 years
ago. I'm fine with it. Yeah.
We did holiday tiers. And I was like, Easter's like a tier 5 holiday. And he was like, what are you talking about? That's the most important one. I was like, I'm actually glad that we're all quarantined during Easter this year because I don't have to celebrate.
I can respect that.
Yeah, Easter's no good, but New Year's, it's like, hey, let's now I do have a vision on New Year's, but it's a very specific one. I think more weddings should happen on New Year's Eve because everyone wants to get dressed up and drink, but no one wants to go to like a bar and be crowded. Mm-hmm. And so like if you have a wedding, that's a central party that gives people to celebrate. Very easy for that groom to remember his anniversary. I think it's a very underrated night to get married. My fiance did not see the vision on this, so I will not be getting married on New Year's Eve. However, I think more people should. That would redeem New Year's Eve, but it's too specific to carry the whole night.
Right.
That's like your chili. Like, that's just not a thing.
Yeah, he's like, no.
So New Year's Eve, everyone jacks up the prices. It's just too hard. I'm a large human being, so the more crowded a place is, the less I want to be there. So
yeah, bad drivers on the road. Like, I think
New Year's. Terrible.
I think New Year's is easily the worst to me.
And on the other side of it, like, everyone was talking about Thanksgiving. The other side of it's Christmas. The other side of New Year's is just work. The dead of winter. Like, there's nothing good you're looking forward to until Memorial Day. Like, it's bleak.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. There's always that. I don't know. New Year redeeming quality of like,
brother. Check them out.
Yeah, New Year's is, New Year, and honestly, even as a Mick, like St. Patrick's Day is just New Year's Junior. So like, I could see
people. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like it's too. Yeah. So I'm not. I could see again the same way I see why people are big on New Year's. I see why people are big on St. Patrick's Day. Just personally, it's not high in my rankings.
I enjoy St. Patrick's Day more than New Year's.
Yeah, I agree.
I would, but agree I don't. With that, yeah,
it's usually like the tournament's about to start. Like, there's something tied to it.
Yeah, like, weather's better. You go outside to drink. That's why it's like, okay,
during that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm out drinking for the tournament. Other people are out drinking for St. Patrick's Day, but it's like, locking hands. I'm being drunk. Yeah.
And it's good. St. Patrick's Day has one of the stronger colorways associated with it.
The commitment is strong.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
You got to wear just like a light green. You know what I mean? Like, you got to.
That's because you're Italian.
the green's got to be, you can't be fucking putting a clover on your fucking cheek or like,
you don't want to get pinched, man,
and all sorts of crazy shit. You gotta just, subtle green. I'm here, we're good.
I just put on a Celtics jersey, done, easy.
There you go. For me, Larry Bird Celtics, easy. Indiana boy, call it a day.
Yeah, that's about as the least amount of trouble. People don't like to talk about it, and I don't even know if you'll like to talk about it, but early 2000s, Pacers-Celtics was one of the bigger rivalries out there.
For sure. Yeah. No, I was young, but I remember it. With Pierce and Walker even back then.
Oh, yeah.
And, Reggie Miller, obviously, and all those boys here. And it was a weird – it's definitely not one that like a 30 for 30 is going to be made about.
No.
It's like, it happened. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, yeah.
There's no doubt about it. Yeah.
It was like Ron Artest hated Paul Pierce, like with a passion. So did Al Harrington. Both of those guys just wanted to constantly.
A lot of people hated Paul Pierce.
They constantly wanted to punch him in the face. And then I was furious at Jermaine O'Neal because it would take him 25 seconds to shoot a free throw. They used to put a shot clock on TV in Boston when he was shooting free throws, and they'd count it in the stands. Like, it was like a real thing.
Sure. J.O. was a little prima donna. Yeah.
And then he came to Boston several years later, which is still one of the all-time confusing things that's happened in my life.
Yeah. But that's funny. Yeah, them and, like, the Pacers, the Celtics, and the Nets from, like, 2001, 2003. That was big.
Yeah. And you're right, there shouldn't be a 30 for 30. Very few people should even talk about it, but it will always just be.
It was like, it was a weird little, like, Eastern semifinal or whatever that was like, oh, fuck, big Boston, Indy.
It was the who's going to lose to the Lakers contest. Between those three teams.
Exactly.
I don't even know if you put those three teams, like, just their best five out, would they have beaten the Lakers?
Lakers in six.
Let's take the – no, yeah.
It'd be like Kidd, Reggie Miller probably, or Richard Jefferson, one of the two.
Mm.
Pierce.
Reggie was getting old.
I was like,
yeah. Kenyon Martin and Jermaine O'Neal, that'd be the five.
Lakers in seven.
Yeah.
I mean
– I guess you could put our test out there at the four instead of Kenyon.
Shaq, dude.
Lakers in seven. Shaq
was the problem there.
Kobe, rest in peace, like, obviously, but, like, I mean, Shaq, dude, like, he just, I feel like even as a, I was a kid then, but I feel like people now, like, they just don't get how dominant he was. You know what I mean? Like, he just, what were you going to do against that dude, man? Like,
nothing.
crazy.
Especially yeah, honestly, like, nothing.
Just literally backing down, and then obviously.
We did a rewatch of him. What was it, 94?
Yeah.
It was him and Penny versus an old Hornets team, and it was he put up a light like 44-20, and it looked like he put up 27. Alonzo Mourning. Yeah, it looked like he put up 27-13. It was so effortless. We were like, what is happening here?
That was the days when Shaq was like, he could have fucking played tight end. You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
Best athlete I've ever seen.
That's unbelievable, man. LSU.
I could have just played quarterback. Like, just snap it down, let him go.
Whatever, what athlete or what position was going to be like, nah, he just can't stick here. Like, he doesn't have the hips for left tackle. Like,
all right, well, Joey, we really appreciate you joining us again. Yes.
This is a blast. This is
welcome. Great. Welcome to our very fucked up family.
Thank you. Welcome. Yeah, this is awesome.
Look forward to seeing what you put out coming up is from quarantine. I know you got a couple irons on the fire involving most of the company. Again, thank you. Thank you to Riley for her very correct Thanksgiving take.
Yeah, she's
got very measured take. Yes.
Yeah. Anytime, guys. This was glad to get to talk to you guys face to face via Zoom. And seriously, this was right up my alley. Just bullshitting and having fun and talking, and appreciate the invite and looking forward to doing more with you guys. So thanks.
Of course. Yeah, we've been doing a lot of live watches, so maybe we'll get you on one of those. You can pick a game, or we just did a random YouTube highlights of high school mixtape athletes the other day.
Yes, that'd be a blast.
So, Purdue's best,
Caleb Swan highlights.
Carson Edwards, there we go, a little Celtics, Purdue.
I can't wait till he figures out how the NBA works, because he cooked at Purdue and not in the NBA.
Yeah. Give my guy some time.
Yeah, it's early.
I will. I certainly will. It's very early, but I don't know. When he cut his hair, I feel like he lost some of his power.
He's coming back now. He ain't in a barbershop open. He'll be back.
We're quarantined. He's got nowhere else to go. All right, fellas. Thanks.
You be good. See you, Joey.
Take care, man.